people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis. Up for another day of broadcast insults. And Anna is off today, returns next week to this program. We're here for 4th of July week. It's a rare occurrence. But we are, we're almost fully staffed all the way through.
It's one of those weird Thursday holidays. You know, most people will take Friday, but some people can't take Friday. And then you're just
Are you talking about yourself, Lauren
Lapkus?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Is that what you're doing? All right. Kev, did you get that sense that there was a definite sort of, listen, I'd like to explain some things to the bosses around here. Right. I'm not explaining anything to the bosses around here.
Throwing a four-day weekend out the window.
It's my own fault because I'll be gone basically forever in September. So I get it.
No big deal.
It's just weird. I feel like every holiday should be on a Friday.
I like when they're in the middle of the week. Completely breaks it up.
Now, what are you doing in September?
I'm going to Germany for Oktoberfest as a early 30th birthday celebration, where I will then go to Prague, which I had planned before.
Prague, as they call it, yeah.
Pre-planned before the Hawks game.
And then will you be there when the Hawks are playing there?
I will be, and I will be at that game.
Huh! Very interesting.
What are the chances of that?
I'm telling you, it's fake.
Talk about good timing.
Kevin has not believed this since the beginning. He believes there's a conspiracy of some sort. There may well be. He's not sure what it is, but something has happened here.
Like 2 weeks before the announcement, Lauren's detailing her trip, and then we get the announcement like, Blackhawks going to be in Prague. Lauren's going to be there, as she detailed to us a couple weeks ago.
Clearly, they were listening. They're like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's also go to Prague.
I don't think that was it. You know what I think is going on here? I think she's got inside information.
Cool. You got inside information, Lapka?
I cannot confirm or deny.
All right. All right. Coming up on the program, we've got Dolores Duarte is going to join us from the WGN TV newsroom.
She's got inside information.
She does. She actually has a bunch of inside information today. And then, the official congressman of the Rokan show from the district of the Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis.
Fear the bird.
Adam Kinzinger is going to join us, and he's got some thoughts. Boy, there were some weird things that happened today with the president and the president's family here in Chicago. Yes.
Who would have thought? He
said some things. And, you know, now, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I kind of get that he goes out and he throws something out, chum out into the water every day so that fish like, you know, dumb fish like me go after it and chew on it and then make a big deal. And then that makes people who are gigantic supporters of his very happy when they think of a guy like me as dumb fish and then they get to, you know, I'm a cock or I'm a whatever they
say. He drops little smoke bombs all around.
Yeah, he likes to do that.
Little smoke screens.
Right. He likes to do he's a poop stirrer. So he, like Anna. So what he did today, though, I think was beyond that. What he did today sounded literally unhinged. He was screaming into the phone at Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business Channel about the criminality of Robert Mueller and about his Fed chairman, Jay Powell.
No relation.
Is, you know, like, he made him famous, and what's he doing now? And it's like, you're like, oh my God, no.
Nothing sounds worse than phone screaming either.
Right.
It's like, you can't understand anything.
Well, you'll hear that you don't understand. Actually, the thing is, you can understand it, but you just don't understand it.
Oh,
that's what happens.
For other reasons.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, what a nightmare.
Yeah, it's a touch of a nightmare.
So was Twitter down at the moment, or?
Oh no, Twitter really enjoyed it. I would like to say that Twitter was all over it. He went after Twitter too. He went after Twitter and Facebook.
His best friend?
Yeah, he said that they're trying to keep conservatives from getting on. They can't follow him on Twitter anymore.
Uh oh, someone's going to have to give back their half of the necklace, BFF.
I don't know where that is. How does Twitter, he said he was as hot as he's ever been on Twitter. I mean, I'm not making this up. He told that we have a bunch of this audio. We'll play a little bit later. He told Maria Bartiromo he's as hot as he's ever been on Twitter. And then all of a sudden it slowed up in the last couple of weeks. And it has to be them keeping his fans away from him. This is the president of the United States. This is not Mick Jagger. No, it is not.
Who would have ever thought this would be a presidential problem?
This is not Eminem. This is not Drake. This is not a Kardashian / Jenner. This is the president of the United States. That was trending. And also, Kylie went out without makeup and her sunglasses on.
Whoa!
I know. Was it Kylie or Chloe? Which one? There was one with a K.
Who the hell knows?
That went out with her without her makeup and her sunglasses on today. Top trending thing.
One of the famous Kardashians, famous for no reason.
Yes. Well, for that, for being famous. All right. We'll join Lourdes Duarte here just in a moment from the WGN-TV newsroom. But first, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the new newsroom of WGN Radio at the bottom of the hour. Con show with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN, and off today, and the kids have taken over the radio station, and unfortunately, I want to just tell you this: I'm letting them. I'm the Disneyland dad that is letting them completely control the programming on this show from 3 to 7 in the afternoon.
Stay up late, eat ice cream for dinner,
right?
Have pizza, exactly. Junk food, scary movies.
Yeah, don't bother Daddy right now. He's getting drunk. That's how this goes. I'm going to tell you, that's how I behave around here when Anna's not here. It's a bad thing.
I see. She keeps you in line.
Well, she keeps everything moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to understand this
pretty soon.
Yes, very soon.
Yeah.
When you get the first one on the ground, you'll understand how that whole thing goes. And you're going to be, because, you know, you never know, because the dad sometimes, I'm not saying that I was like this as a dad, but I was, is that, you know, I'm the fun police, you know, I'm the fun guy, and then I make the other person the fun police.
Right. Right?
Anna's definitely the fun police.
Yeah.
I kind of treat Ben like my child these days.
Oh, that's a good plan.
For the last few years, so yeah. I think I'm used to it.
Perfect practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally used to it.
You're having a girl, though, right?
I'm having a girl.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ben's walking through right now, coming back from golfing, by the way.
You know, I got off 18. I can't hear anything you're saying. I only hear Lourdes as part of the conversation.
They called you a child
during his work day without it being criticized.
Do you believe this? Terrible.
How drunk is Ben right now?
Back. my makeup done.
If you lit
you
a match right now. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the story from the West Loop last night. Aviary, the very fancy bar where it's like $25 a drink in there. Right.
Yeah.
It's like it's.
Have you been in there? I've never been in there.
Oh yeah. They like sprinkle gold dust on the drinks and the diamond chips and things like
stuff.
That. Yeah. It's crazy stuff. Like, it takes an hour and a half to make it. They're burning, so they set something on fire back there while they're doing it. It's they barbecue your own drink, which I thought seems antithetical, but you know. What do I know? So
they had quite the VIP there last night.
Well, okay, so Eric Trump was there,
mm-hmm.
and he says that a person spat upon him, an employee there, and that they called the police, and the police assisted the Secret Service is with him. He's got some sort of protective force that's around him, and so they called the police, and then they had to assist in taking someone into custody, although Mr. Trump says he is not going to press charges?
Yeah, it's my understanding that he had some members of the Secret Service there with him in some form, as you mentioned, that they then took this individual into custody. However, the Trump organization decided that they were not going to press charges against this individual, saying that this is someone that clearly has mental problems and I guess technically felt sorry for this individual who did this to him. But
and this is somebody who worked at Aviary?
Yeah, who's worked at Aviary. Mm-hmm. Aviary, of course, feels terrible about it, does not condone the behavior of this particular employee. That person's been placed on leave at this point. Not sure what the repercussions would be, how this person will be disciplined moving forward. But at least for right now, the person placed on leave and the restaurant, do we call it a restaurant or a bar?
It's really kind of a bar, I think.
A bar restaurant.
Yeah.
The Aviary saying that they've been getting, bad reviews on Yelp and all sorts of comments about what happened with Mr. Trump.
Oh, yeah.
How has he not been fired?
Yeah. Yeah.
If there is a mental illness issue, they're going to you have to look at that. I don't know. Whatever it happens to be. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, and I'm sure we're going to hear more in the coming days as to how they handle this, because a lot of people, I mean, it's become national, international news.
Yeah, but
really.
Now, you know, there's you know, they'll get threats, and the you know, the internet goes nuts, and the people that come to the defense, they just want to be as, you know, hit back harder. You know, the Trump way of if you're insulted, you hit back twice as hard or whatever it is. So, you know, whatever's going to, that was, yeah, it draws attention. Nobody would have known that guy, nobody even knew that guy was in town. Did we know that guy was in town?
No, nobody knew. He apparently was here handling business for the Trump Hotel. The only mention that he made of it, I guess, on his social media account, just said, you know, I was in town. Kudos to Trump Chicago. You've got a beautiful building. Things are working properly. But he made no mention, at least on social media, about what happened at the aviary. Neither has President Trump. So neither of them have spoken about this incident.
All right. That's right. Well, yeah, he did enough today, though. He was on fire on Fox Business Channel, or Fox Business Network. So, let's not even go. We'll play that a little bit later on. Let's not even go there.
Yeah, who knows if we'll hear something more about it in the coming hours, maybe in the coming days. So.
I am very curious what the situation was. Was this person serving him, or were they just... They just spotted him and decided to spit.
That's what we don't know. That's what we don't know. What was going on? You know, how busy was it? Was there any sort of altercation or exchange between the two sides?
A conversation
that would have led to this. You know, those are all really good questions at this point.
A person had a drooling problem. You never know. You just never know. All right, let's talk about you this morning. You and I were on the Cochrane Show.
Yeah, and you're going to what, London? And
oh,
I don't get to go.
Stop it. Stop it with all the jealousy around here. It's just palpable. All the envy. Yes, Anna and I are taking a group of people to London
for 2 weeks
for 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And it happens to coincide with a time when there's a team from Chicago playing football there.
We
might have tickets to that game. If you want to buy the package, you got to go to WGNRadio.com. It explains the whole thing. Or you can call Steve Bertrand Travel. Thanks for helping me with the plug. 847-606-6065. All right, that's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, now, but
you have a big story. We were talking about this morning about the postal trucks. You know, this is a funny thing. You know those postal trucks that have the steering wheel on the wrong side?
Right.
I never trusted those, Lourdes, and now you're giving me good reason not to.
Yeah, so they've been around since Ronald Reagan was president. Back in 1987 was when they were first built. So you're looking at 32 years in some cases. You know, they're getting old. They've been out on the road for quite a while, and in the last 4 or 5 years, what they're noticing is that there are reports of fires, these vehicles bursting into flames. They'll be out delivering mail, and all of a sudden, boom, an explosion, and they've got to save the packages. It's in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
See, that's not supposed to happen, blowing up, right?
It just happens. And then the Postal Service knows about this. However, they are keeping these trucks on the road. And let me tell you, there's 140,000 of them around the country, about 6,000 of those right here in Illinois. So how are they handling this? They say they're doing maintenance to these vehicles. They're looking to replace them, but one, you know, the Postal Service is in a pretty tough financial situation at this point.
They always
are. And replacing 140,000 trucks is pretty expensive.
Yeah,
so
with the steering wheel on the wrong side. I mean, that's a problem, because the steering wheel goes flying now into somebody's house because it's on the house side as opposed to the roadside. I mean, who needs that?
Nobody needs
that. Oh God.
So we're gonna talk about that tomorrow night. There was a case just recently in Sauk Village where that vehicle blew up. So
I'm sure there's a
look into it.
Plaintiff's attorney that is willing to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
I wonder is it harder to drive those cars, you think?
I don't know.
Have you ever driven? I've driven.
I never have.
I've driven on the right side, but in England where you're supposed to drive, and then you know it makes sense because you're still, you know, coming toward the oncoming traffic, right? The oncoming traffic is, you know, on the driver's side. So it's like, oh, how far am I away? But if you're on the passenger side driving the car, and then the oncoming traffic is on the other side, you know, you got, you know, a half car length away, car width away. I don't know. I don't think it's the same.
I just always thought they were kind of cute. You know?
You want to get yourself one of those.
Look at that cute little postal truck.
Yeah, you want to get that? Not anymore. Not anymore. All right. Thank you very much, Lourdes. Appreciate it.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, bye. Let's check in with Kim and find out what's going on in the WGN newsroom right now. Real Con Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. But, oh, actually, it's WGN everywhere right now. Soon to be on 720 WGN after the White Sox game. We are on the CLTV, though, and that's the important thing. That is the CLTV. That's what everybody, that's what America needs. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody agrees
that's right,
on it. Yeah,
of course.
That's what they need. Right now, Congressman Adam Kinzinger is joining us. And Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. I gotta ask you a question. I don't know if you saw this. I didn't have an opportunity to catch up on your television viewing this morning. But the president was on the Fox Business Network. And he sat down with, or he didn't sit down, he called in to Maria Bartiromo's show. And he went after the Fed chairman, saying basically that the Fed chairman, he hired the Fed chairman, he's his guy, and now he's embarrassing him, and he just doesn't understand, and he's... Do we have the audio? Let me just play this for you.
Okay. We have a man that doesn't do anything for us.
Yeah.
We're sitting there, and we stay. He should have never raised the rates to the level that he raised.
Well, he said he's not going to get pushed around by political. He said, you know, he basically suggested yesterday, I'm not going
to
get pushed around.
He's trying to prove how tough he is, because he's not going to get pushed around.
Yeah.
He's a guy, nobody ever heard of him before, and now I made him, and he wants to show how tough he is. Okay, let him show how tough he is. He's not doing a good job.
He stopped short. He stopped a little short there. I thought he was going to go. He actually called. He pulled himself back. I'm uncomfortable with the president calling out the Fed chairman. What's the reaction on the Hill?
We always can talk about these fun things. Look, I've said it over and over again. I like the president's policies. I don't like some of the tone. I think he needs to be more presidential, right? And I think this is one of those cases. I think having an independent Fed is actually pretty important because they can see trends. They don't always get it right. Maybe they didn't get it right this time. I don't know. But, you know, when you have a growing economy, without getting into boring monetary policy, you end up, because the Fed flooded the economy with money during the recession, which is important to do, you increase the supply. But at some point, you have to pull that supply back to, you know, reduce inflation and keep the economy from overheating. And it also gives you more bullets in the gun to use if you hit inevitably another recession. So, look, I don't think that, and I think it's kind of been history that typically presidents don't speak out against the Fed.
Yeah,
but
so far,
there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that's kind of been changed in the last few years on that. So, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Okay.
That's the best I can tell you.
Yeah. All right. That's about what I'd say about it, too. It is what it is. I'm not quite sure what to do about it. But, it's, you know, he is his own guy, right? I mean, that's the one thing. He's, you know, if you anticipate he's going to do one thing, because that's what past presidents have done, just throw that out right out the window. This is going to go the other way.
Yeah. Some people love that about him. I think there's some benefit to the level of transparency that he is in terms of, you know, saying what he's thinking. But at the same time, I just, you know, in the long run, we need to, I think, create an environment where we can talk to each other and respect each other again.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about what's happening in the Middle East. You've got some of the cabinet out in the Middle East right now trying to figure this situation out. We and the Iranians are, you know, at loggerheads. It seems like there is a moment where the tensions get very high. There was a Twitter exchange. And again, will World War III really start on Twitter? It may. Because the Iranians calling us out on Twitter and then the president calling them out on Twitter. Where do you think this is heading?
So, first off, I actually don't have any problem, and I said this too with North Korea, with the president's rhetoric on this, because if you look at it, he's actually matching the rhetoric of Iran. And I think in this case, you know, Iran needs to know that they're treading on thin ice. I mean, they really got a gift by the president not striking them. I don't think he will hold back again, because I think he's taken enough, you know, kind of criticism and about that, and I think he realized the need. So I think it's going to be a spotty summer. So I think it's going to be a little bit of this back and forth. Obviously, they're claiming that on July 8th, they're going to start enriching uranium past what's been prohibited. The reality of it is this, though. The sanctions are absolutely working, and you have a destabilized, nervous Iranian government. The Iranian people, by and large, actually are not blaming Trump for the economy. They're blaming their government, because when they got a big influx of money, they spent it on forays into the Middle East, and still their roads and bridges and everything crumbled. And as we know, the Iran has a very rich history, and it's, you know, hotbed of a lot of inventions and civilization. So I think it's going to be some back and forth. I think eventually when cooler heads prevail, which may take some time, I think we will enter negotiations, find a way for everybody to save face. And ultimately, my hope is that we get a deal that is a longer deal on nuclear weapons, but also includes Iran's behavior in the Middle East. And I think that's what hopefully is the final end goal here.
And then North Korea also on Twitter going after not the president, but going after Mike Pompeo. And, you know, Kim Jong-un's, whoever his guy is who handles Twitter for him, basically calling out Pompeo and saying that you know, we're again at a very tense moment. And the president is, it's interesting if you, they referred to Donald Trump as supreme leader, by the way, of the United States on Twitter, which I'm it makes me slightly uncomfortable.
I'll tell Kim that. So he won't use it again.
Yes, thank you. You might want to. You do it on Twitter. Hey, he's not. He's the president, duly elected president.
But here, Kim.
What do you do though? It makes me a little uncomfortable that the president though is. It seems like they're just trying to play nice with each other to keep their dialogue going. But is that going to be enough?
No, and, you know, look, I think we have to continue. And, you know, the sanctions are still biting North Korea. I think with the trade war with China, which actually I think the trade war needed to happen 30 years ago, and we need to win it. China has been very lax on the enforcement of this, so there's got to be ways to deal with that. I actually think, interestingly, I think what Kim is doing is trying to, in essence, get a message to Trump to try to create a division between him and Pompeo, basically saying, look, we're all in, but we don't like Mike Pompeo. I've talked to Pompeo. I'm pretty close with him. I found out some very interesting stories about his first meeting with Kim when he was, you know, CIA director. And so I think what he's trying to do is just create a division there because, and this is part of the byproduct of the pulled back Iran strike. Everybody knew that the president's cabinet was unanimous in recommending a strike. Then when the president pulled back, I think Kim saw that and said, maybe the president doesn't trust his advisors. Here's an opportunity. I don't know that because obviously Kim and I aren't buddies, but that's my kind of gut feeling of what happened there.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent observation. I think that's the whole world is looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible that the Europeans, the president went after Europe? Actually, the president went after Vietnam today in that interview with Fox Business Network.
I didn't even watch the interview.
There are trade tensions that are going to be popping up around the world here. Are you concerned that there are going to be leaders who are going to try to separate for the president from his own cabinet? And is it possible to do?
Yeah, I do fear that a little bit, and I do think it's, I don't know, possible, but it can create that. The president is, you know, he's very focused, very determined to get that one. And actually, if you meet with him in person, he's one of the nicest guys you'll meet, knows everything about you, and I think he's way smarter than people give him credit for. The problem is, in some cases, people will give him advice, and he kind of goes to what the last person says. And but I still think, you know, his decision on Iran, even though I disagree with it, was rational. I just think what was actually wrong was his, you know, kind of explaining all his thought process. I think that was, you know, something that actually could create that moment where it looked like weakness.
All right. Anything fun happening in Washington? Would you like to tell us about something fun happening? And what you said you want to talk about fun things.
Yeah, tonight's the congressional baseball game. So, you know, it's probably on C-SPAN, the Ocho. But the cool thing about it, it's the Republicans against Democrats. I don't play anymore because they practice for 3 months at 6 o'clock in the morning. And actually, I am at work right around then, but I'm not going to do it going and playing baseball. But it's
that,
nice,
by the way,
fun, and
is the
charity.
Congressman, that is, by the way, the worst excuse I have ever heard in my life. I'm at work. No, don't worry about it. I'm at work. I just got to go with it.
I pull
the rotator
actually.
Cuff.
I come in pretty early.
I'm pretty early,
and I read stuff, but... I'm gonna take a selfie tomorrow when I'm in here. I'll send it to you.
Why don't you just call me when you get into the office? So let's see if I'm still up.
I'm rolling back from the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So the question that I think a lot of people have here is: you played for how many years on this?
I played for 2 years.
And what position did you play?
Left field.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I got the only hit 1 year for the Republicans. And somebody else got the MVP. So that's maybe part of why I don't play anymore.
Yeah, okay, I get it. I understand.
I mean...
Yeah. What is the...
You know, that all feeds into the narrative.
Who's got the best arm? Who's the star? Who are the aces?
Richmond. Cedric Richmond of the Democrats, great pitcher. He's getting older, though. And then we have a new guy, Stube, from Florida, that supposedly is pretty good. We'll see tonight. Supposedly this is the best team we've fielded in 10 years. We used to win every year. We've lost all but 1 year of the last 10. I think we're going to take it back. And by the way, it's not slow-pitch baseball. It's not slow-pitch softball. It is at Nats Field, and it's a real fast-pitch baseball game. It's really fun. So
wait till we get some...
Tune into the Ocho.
Wait till we get some Dominican congressmen. I'm telling you, it's going to change everything.
Listen, man, we make our decisions on who we're going to run candidates against based on who's too good on the Democrats and who can we recruit to play baseball on the Republicans.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Republicans are going to meet Dominicans. I don't know how you're going to get them. Or maybe a Venezuelan infielder or something. I don't know.
Puerto Rican?
Yeah, we can find something. Yeah. Got to be something. Right. Puerto Rican, actually, get a Puerto Rican.
Yeah, we get a Puerto Rican.
That's kind of legal. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it. All right, bye. Here goes. Call me in the morning. Bye.
You think our guy Nick's taking any action on the congressional baseball game?
Oh, God. I got minus 150 on the Democrats.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, we'll see what goes on there. He thinks the Republicans are going to win. I don't know why.
He sounds confident. They got to be streaming that somewhere. I might keep an eye on it.
Oh, no, that's on TV. I think he's right. I think it is on C-SPAN. It's on somewhere.
Yeah, because it wasn't... Yeah. I think last year I watched...
Remember, they put it out after the
shooting.
A couple years ago. But this, the last... I believe that this thing has always run on C-SPAN. Which is a kind of a ridiculous use of the C-SPAN channel. I'd rather watch Books Week or whatever the hell they do, where they have like book notes or whatever the hell that show is. Where they're always talking about, and Abraham Lincoln, as many people now know, they believe he had irritable bowel syndrome. That's on page 76 of my book.
And it's definitely C-SPAN, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. All right, I'll keep an eye on that. I'll report. I'll put it in my sports report tomorrow. I'll lead with that. I want a benches clearing brawl. That's what I want.
And this is
somebody throwing at somebody.
It's up against the Democratic debate, what they should do. You know, the first Democratic debate should just be a 100-yard dash. Is what it should be. Who gets and it's the first five people to cross the line,
like an arm wrestling challenge or something like that. Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Because does it really matter? You know what I mean? Just weed some of them out.
We'll give you 2 minutes to argue if you hit a home run. Per home run, 2 minutes.
I think Elizabeth Warren, I think she's got, you know, she's got a big stride.
Sneaky speed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got that, you know,
like
she's got
gazelle
that. Like, right, exactly.
Field, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to be in the top. I think that takes Bernie right out. I don't think Bernie's going to try. He's going to be good for the first 5 meters. And then after that, it's all over.
Buttigieg, he looks like one of those guys you're not sure if he's running from something or actually jogging when he's like running around on a track or something.
Oh, he's going to be fine. He's making the top five on that.
He seems like someone that would pace himself.
Sneaky, horrible form from Buttigieg. I can just feel it.
Buttigieg. All right. Kim, what's happening in the news at the top of the hour? Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. When we're on 720 WGN, we're on the World Wide Web right now and on CLTV. Be back on the radio in about 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes. It is a, because the Sox won in a pitched battle, but this was a moment that they really had to win because they dropped four in a row here.
Mm-hmm.
It almost looked like the past few games when they came back, when Boston came back and took the lead, I was like, no, I cursed it again. And then, thank God for Jose Abreu.
Lauren really thinks she has an immediate impact on these
baseball
games based off the energy she's giving off.
See, now, I believe that about football because that's only once a week. I believe that I can actually impact games in football by wearing socks or certain, you know, clothing. There are things I'll wear for the Bears early in the season that I will not wear if they lose again.
Oh, I will take off a jersey and put something else on if we're losing a game.
That's interesting at the party, I would imagine. But I guess what needs to be addressed here is in baseball, where there's 162 contests a year, that, you know, you're going to run out of clothes at some point. You're going to run out of excuses that it's all your fault because, you know, they're in Boston. They didn't care. All right, let's hold on 1 second here. Speaking of all of this. Which has nothing to do with this. we have a new edition of Powell's Howl.
Yeah.
This is where Kevin Powell takes to...
any topic.
He channels the emotion that is often displayed on this show by me. But he's, but it's,
correct.
But
whatever's irritating me.
Yeah, but it becomes overwhelming to you. Mm-hmm. And so this, the latest... What is the topic here?
This is AOC and Bernie with their whole student loan elimination thingamajiggy.
Get me started.
Time now for Powell's Howl. The ravings, rantings, and occasionally incoherent babble.
It's kind of a big deal.
Of Kevin Powell.
The latest from AOC, Bernie, and the rest of their goofball friends in D.C.
It's a doozy.
They want to suddenly eliminate all student debt. Over $1 trillion of debt.
It is just, oh my God.
I have student loans that I have to pay off, as most millennials do. It magically disappearing would be pretty sweet, but how are you just going to eliminate billions of dollars of debt?
Well, abracadabra, buddy! There is a magic wand!
Why don't we just wipe out all debt? Credit card debt?
Forget about it.
Mortgages?
Forget about it.
Car loans?
Forget about it, you know?
It's just another hollow pitch from politicians. Eliminating all student debt. A pretty wild angle to take. I'm actually so annoyed by this proposal that I'm actually looking forward to making my next student loan payment. And I took with the agreement that I'll pay it back. That's how a loan works, folks. I intend to do just that. Pay it back.
Damn it, I like the way you do business.
We should obviously have a conversation about student loans, how they're handed out, distributed, because sticking a generation with boatloads of debt, not a good thing for our country. But coming in hot telling the American people we're going to erase all student loan debt, it's a bit of a stretch. Bernie and AOC like to pretend they're fighting for the hardworking middle class, all while Sanders has become a millionaire, pushing his far-left agenda, and Ocasio-Cortez, wait for it, yep, already pushing for pay raises for D.C. politicians. That's my rant. Now I'm going to go find a way to earn some extra cash so I can pay off my debt by myself without the help of AOC and Bernie.
She's not going to like that.
No.
She's not going to swipe right when she sees you on Tinder or wherever the hell she's going to see you.
She's not swiping right on me.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
When she sees you on the Bumble, because, you know, she has more control on the Bumble.
Right.
She's married to a guy, or dating a guy who looks like he's from the cast of Game of Thrones. Have you seen him?
Which one?
He's like this tall, like...
The dragon?
Yeah. No, he looks like... He looks like an extra. He looks like a guy who got his head cut off in one of those big battle scenes.
Okay, he looks like he belongs in the Game of Thrones world.
Sort of a thing. Looks a little bit like, you know, the same thing as the hipster bartender.
Oh, like Jason Momoa, maybe? You're thinking of Khal Drogo?
No. Like a hipster bartender. Like, he's thin, he's tall, he's a ginger.
Are you sure he doesn't belong in Harry Potter instead?
He's got sort of like that beard that looks like a guy who'd be setting something on fire while he's making a drink for you. He's like, takes a Bic lighter and he burns an orange rind or something. Like, he looks like one of those guys.
Oh, just like a really fancy bartender. Like, no, yes. I went to school for this. And, right. Yeah.
Like a guy at Aviary.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he kind of looks like. Maybe it was there. I don't know.
AOC to me kind of looks like the hip, cool, like young teacher / librarian who's always yelling at me. I can like see this happening in class, me goofing off my buddies and her yelling at me.
Kevin,
yeah. Cut it up.
Yeah, but you're secretly hot for her.
But secretly, like, dude, she's so hot. You know, she yelled at me.
Right. You don't want to tell your friends that she's hot because when you do that.
Because I'm kind of battling with her in class a little bit, acting out.
Yeah, because, and then if you do, they go, oh, sick. Sick, disgusting. But they all feel the same way.
Yeah, pretty much. You nailed it.
Yeah, that's how it is.
So that's how I feel about the crazy.
I understand. I'm with you. I think it doesn't make a ton of sense. But they're just trying to. It's a smart thing to do in the Democratic primary because it's going to get younger voters to come out. And they're thinking, they don't need. All you need to win in a 25. Just remember this. If there are 25 people on the ballot, which there won't be, but let's just call them 20 people on the ballot. That means you'll only need 5% plus one to win.
But is it going to get the young vote out? Because people my age are like, that's a bunch of BS. Like, that's ridiculous.
But probably not all.
But I think more than you think this is how I feel about it, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's
and
just
not
like,
that not that they disagree with it or it would be great to get the debt just immediately wiped out, but I think there's a lot of doubt that it would even happen.
Well, yeah, but it's just like Biden's strategy of we're going to cure cancer if you
right. The people just say crazy ass stuff now. Mm-hmm. Like the craziest promises are being thrown out there now.
Thank God.
There's no easy solution. So
they're just doing crazy stuff, trying to counter Trump with his craziness.
No, thank God we have a level-headed president.
Right. But this is the ripple effect to all parties, where his craziness is affecting the other side, too, where they're going, all right, let's just go out on a complete limb here. Let's just eliminate debt. We'll promise that. It's like, what are you talking about? They're basically using Trump's strategy to counter Trump.
Right. Say anything.
Say anything. Fight back with some craziness and some promise that obviously will never be fulfilled.
We're going to cure chronic pain. You will never feel pain ever again.
I'd like to see Joe Biden in the driveway in a trench coat with a boombox. That's what I'd like to see, like at a say anything moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love you, America. I want you back.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. This is the WGN Everywhere. Kim's got the news right now. Contenders enter the ring in Miami. It's going to be hot. It's going to be very hot tonight as the Democratic contenders in their first debate. It's not even July yet. It's not even August yet. It's not even November yet. Or December or January.
It's like baseball. It keeps happening earlier and earlier.
I know. Stop it. Aaron Katursky from ABC News is covering all of this down in Miami. And this is going to be a big... it's on the NBC television network tonight, if people are interested in watching it. And they're breaking it into two nights, right, Aaron?
Yeah, it's so hot, by the way. they're breaking it into two nights. 10 candidates tonight, another 10 tomorrow. The Democrats, though, didn't want what they considered to be a kids' table debate. They didn't want to pack the first night with all the heavy hitters. So they've divided it kind of luck of the draw. And the positioning on stage is according to poll numbers. So tonight, it's Elizabeth Warren who's going to be that center position, flanked by Beto O'Rourke and Cory Booker. So it puts her on one hand up against another Senate orator. On the other hand, it puts her up against kind of a young upstart, but also somebody whose trajectory in the polls has been on the downward slide.
So, all right. So how many tonight?
There's 10.
10. All right. Let's go through the 10.
60-second answers.
Who are the 10?
So in addition to Warren and O'Rourke and Booker, Julian Castro, Bill de Blasio, John Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard, Jay Inslee, Amy Klobuchar, and Tim Ryan. And
now there's three names in there. I don't know who they are. John Delaney, I thought, was a comedian. Who's the last one? There was another guy.
Tim Ryan.
Tim Ryan.
The congressman from Ohio.
Tim Ryan. It was a football announcer. I don't even know. This none of this makes any sense to me.
See, so this is the whole thing, right? So for those of us who have not paid attention to this crowded field, it's a chance for a breakout moment and a way to kind of get to know everybody by name and by face. And you wonder if there are going to be some bomb throwers from the fringes of the stage or whether they're all going to try and pile on Elizabeth Warren. A lot of the Democrats, though, didn't seem to have a big appetite for attacking one another. They were all out to just introduce themselves and tell everybody who the heck they are.
Yeah. And then tomorrow night, who are there 10 more tomorrow night?
There are 10 more tomorrow night. In fact, in alphabetical order, Michael Bennett, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, John Hickenlooper, Bernie Sanders, Eric Swalwell, Marianne Williamson, and Andrew Yang.
Marianne Williamson, I thought, was a singer. That seems to me that that's the better night, is tomorrow night. That's a better show than tonight's
better
show,
card.
I think. Yeah, better card, yeah. We'll see. Yeah. This is a lot of shooting themselves in the foot, I think, is what's going to happen here. Because you're right. People are going to want to embarrass the front runners, which is, you know, I guess that, you know, that's, you got to start to feel the heat at some point. But it just doesn't seem like, you know, this is the way to do it. And it's 90 minutes or 2 hours. How long is it going to go for?
2 hours.
Oh, my God.
2 hours and tonight and 2 hours tomorrow.
Do you have to watch it? Do you have to be there for it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
I know. Hot. But after 4 hours of debate, you're only going to meet 4/5 of the field. So there's still others that are, you know, hanging out either in Iowa or sulking at home that didn't make the cut, and they're still trying to remain viable candidates.
Well, some dude just joined last week, right? Didn't some guy just pop in, I think, in the last couple of days?
Joining, like, every day there's a new Democrat. And at this point, there is kind of that, you know, why not me feel.
Yes, I think that...
especially exactly right. Since Joe Biden has had some trouble on the stump, you know, and there does seem to be a desire for some perhaps new blood injected into the party, and so Donald Trump kind of opened those floodgates for if he can do it, so can I.
Yeah, do these people have $100 million of own money to spend? I mean, that's the thing. That's how Trump was able to do that. Trump was able to stay in and be and, you know, keep the messaging going because he was flying in his own jet. He had his own money. He didn't have to worry. All right. Welcome back to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, already in progress. And we have got, if you've been watching the Sox game or listening to the Sox game, you know that the Sox just won in a nail biter, but they did need to win this one on the getaway day out of Boston. So congratulations to them. And yes, there are some injuries, but Lauren and Kevin are beside themselves in the studio.
Why would I be beside myself?
Because I heard your sports cast. I mean, it's like the injury report is a little long and they got to get healthy.
Yeah, it's not good right now.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
Past couple of years, it's been injuries galore.
And and Tim Anderson, the high ankle sprain. You know, Tim Anderson was in a bit of a slumpity dump.
He was.
But this is not going to help.
No. It could have been worse, though, I will say that, especially originally watching the play. You know, sometimes when it doesn't look that bad, but bad enough, you worry about ACLs, MCLs, any of the Ls.
Looked painful, and he wasn't putting any weight on it, so.
Right. That also scared me.
Right, when they were carrying him off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not a good sign. Now, it's really interesting. I have Kevin and Lauren carry me out of the studio every night, too, but for different reasons. And speaking of that, if you would like to, you know, we've been doing this whole deal, telling you about the very important moment here at 5:40 this afternoon. We're going to tell you when to listen to the Steve Cochran Show so that you can hear the very special piece of sound that he will be playing. And then you will be X number caller, whatever they tell you you're going to be, or I'll tell you who you're going to have to be coming up at 5:40. Then you will qualify to get the suite for 20 people. At a White Sox game, that's the July 28th game as they take on the Minnesota Twins. That is very, very, very important. And you are going to love this experience, especially if you've got generations of fans in your family. It's great. Suites are great, especially for older and younger people, right? You get the kids up there and they're not, you know, they're running around in your
like
suite.
Crazy. Yep.
Yep. And they sugar them up like there's no tomorrow.
Uh-huh. You get the really big, good suites too.
Right. The big gigantic cookies and cake. Mm-hmm. And then, for older people who don't necessarily want to, you know, hassle with the crowd and the seats and all of that. And you got bathrooms right there.
There you go.
No
it's
lines.
The best. No lines. It is the luxury way there to see a baseball game. And we're giving you this suite. So you qualify by winning 4 tickets. That's the best part to an upcoming game. But then you also will have the opportunity to then vie for, and through a random draw, all the qualifiers will then be qualified to be in the random draw. There will be a random draw. And then on the 3rd of July, we'll tell you who gets the suite.
It's a win, possible win.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Be listening at 5:40 this afternoon as we give you details right there. All right, we're going to come right back and get you all set up on what's happening for the rest of the day. Let me just give you a little sense here. Have you noticed, I mean, if you're downtown, you've been by the lake, the lake levels are super, super, super high. That's been a big story for the last couple of days. It's just taken another turn, and we'll explain. We have a guy who's an expert on it about what the real damage that's being done right now is. And it's not some fish you never heard of. It's actually serious. Well, this can affect you. We'll tell you all about it. But on the other side of Kim telling us what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Bryant Donaldson tonight. MVPs collide in prime time as the Cubs and Braves battle at Wrigley tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right. Coming up, We've got many things that need to be addressed. Some of which I'll tell you about, some of which I won't. Some of which I'm going to keep a complete secret. We are going to play some of the audio. I don't know if you heard this today or have heard about it or seen it on your news feed. The president sat down. Well, he had called into Maria Bartiromo today, the lady on the Fox Business Network, who is formerly of CNBC, one of the highest profile business anchors, right, in television, and called in. And they've been, you know, and Donald Trump and Maria Bartiromo have been familiar with each other for years, right? He used to appear all the time when she was on CNBC. She seems to have a fairly close relationship with him. And you can tell in this interview because he says things that really would require sedation in most patients. And she just goes along with him like, oh, yeah, no, that makes total sense. You want to kill who? What? So there is audio that even if you are, you know, like even if you love the policy, it is very entertaining how he describes his dislike for the people around him, including his own handpicked Fed chairman, who he's upset with because he made him famous and he's not giving back, you know, he's not giving him the love back.
He don't really get along with anyone, does he? Does he have like buddies? Like, hey, you're my best friend. He doesn't really have like true friends. Doesn't feel that way.
Right. People are friends of his. He's not friends of people.
Like he's doing him a favor.
Right. That's the sense I get. Maybe he does. There's got to be somebody, right? Well, there was that National Enquirer guy, that Pecker guy.
Roger Stone.
Yeah, I don't think
great
Roger Stone.
Point.
I don't think so.
You know, Roger Stone also seems like
Roger Stone created really Donald Trump, let's just put it that way, politically.
Well, he gave him the idea to, you know, do this, and he did it. I don't know if it...
He was the perfect puppet for him.
I don't see them hanging out, though. And I don't think he hangs out with that Pecker.
Not in a friendly way.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, he doesn't have a best bud. Like, hey, bud, want to have some beers? Watch the game. I know he doesn't drink, but you get what I'm saying. Like,
maybe
know,
the kids.
I was going to say, I think his older children are his best friends.
Yeah.
I don't think he likes Don Jr. that much. I'll be honest. I used to think it was Eric that was the odd man, and I think it's Don Jr. I think he looks at Don Jr. and thinks he's a putz. I do. I honestly do. He's always going up and shooting things. Sometimes he shoots his mouth off. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, Eric's a nice kid. Not the smartest one, but a nice kid. Ivanka is really the answer. And then there's those other two. I don't know. What are their names? You feel bad for the daughter, whose name does escape me now, actually.
Tiffany.
Thank you. Yeah. You do, because every once in a while, like, she popped up, right, in Europe during the D-Day festivities. And it was like, it was weird. You could see how, like, what level of access they get to family kind of stuff. And she wasn't even, you know, part of it. She was just, like, a sort of circling around the outside of it. It made me feel bad. As someone who's done that in the family dynamic, I totally get it. I think I'm more like Barron, though, quite honestly, if you want to know the truth. I'm the one that was, you know, at the end that was like, hey, I don't know. We're going to take him somewhere, but I don't know what we're going to do with him. That was me.
I'm just going to stand here. Don't mind me.
Right. Well, everybody else, you know, the older half-siblings are not paying any attention to you.
You're just kind of existing,
right? Mm-hmm. That's right, right. And that's then they have to pretend that they're interested for that, you know, that short period of time. That was me. So there we go. So we have that going for us. All right. So we're going to play some of that audio. It is not to be believed. And details on how you can join us in London as well. That's all coming your way. But first, let's check in. Kim Gordon's got the WGN news from the WGN newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and it's all brought to us by our friends at AppleChevy.com. Roe Khan Show with Anna DeBlanzis right here on 720 WGN. And off this week, back next week. All right, you know, a lot of people who have been either, you know, you work downtown, maybe you live downtown, or you drive by the lake just to and from going home, have freaked out Because the lake level, especially in that area between Navy Pier and the curve there at Oak Street.
And a little past.
The water, and yeah, and actually all the way to North Avenue, the water, that concrete.
It's like gone.
Right. There used to be used to have to get on a ladder to get into the water. I don't know why anybody wanted to get in the water right there, but if they wanted to get in the water, there was a ladder.
And or you would, out. Or and, out.
Well, out, but probably, okay, good point. So there was, that's, I didn't think about the getting out part. So that, but now that ladder's gone, and the water is actually over the concrete.
Yeah, you could swim up like an orca at a SeaWorld show. It is so crazy how it looks over there.
Right. Maybe one will do that.
Actually, no, I'm pretty sure I saw people laying on the pavement like that.
And now it's gotten even worse, because we look out here, our view out at, you know, from our offices or from our studio, looks out onto the lake through the locks here. We're on the Chicago River. We're looking due east, and you can see the locks, and you can also see this breakwater that exists between where the Chicago River locks are and Navy Pier. And it has always been there. There's a name for it. We learned it last week. Somebody texted us, and now it has escaped me. But it's that breakwater, the whole idea of that breakwater is to keep the water, you know, from breaking over the keep the, sort of break up the water,
keep the tides down a bit.
Yes, that's the, thank you, that's the whole idea of that. And now that thing is totally underwater.
It looks like a very thin line.
What is going on? That is a question a lot of people have. And Joel Bramer is with us, and Joel is the president and CEO of the Alliance for the Great Lakes. And I know you guys are looking at all the Great Lakes, but down here, the southern end of Lake Michigan, it's a pretty freaky situation for a lot of people. We'll get to the economic damage here in a second, but what are the causes here?
Sure. The lakes, you know, Lake Michigan goes up and down and on an approximately 30-year cycle. And right now we're getting very close to a record high. And really a lot of it's driven by the rain that comes into the lake and the amount of water that evaporates. So we've had obviously much greater than average precipitation this spring. Everybody's been bemoaning that because it feels like we went straight from sort of March into July all of a sudden without a real spring. And, you know, that rainfall has all driven up the level of all the Great Lakes, and here, right here in Chicago, we're obviously seeing the effects.
And that's in the most of that is further north up the lake, though, right? I mean, it's not just because it's raining down here in Chicago. It's also like if it's raining a little bit further, like Wisconsin border and central Wisconsin, central Michigan, things like that.
Yeah, the whole Great Lakes region, and in fact, the whole middle of the country is getting socked with above average precipitation. So people have, of course, seen those images of flooded fields in the Mississippi River Basin, stories of farmers not being able to plant their crops. We're getting way more rainfall than we would expect for this time of year, and so all the Great Lakes levels are being driven up. In fact, they've been having some coastal flooding problems with, you know, houses getting flooded and businesses getting damaged in Lake Ontario for a couple of years now because of this increased rainfall. And so we're really starting to see that show up here in Lake Michigan. And the thing about lake levels is that they're not predictable. We can roughly say they go up and down on a 30-year time frame, but year to year they're very volatile, and we really, you know, the past doesn't really predict the future.
And we are, just to be clear, we are at the top of one of those cycles. Then, right, in terms of
The last record high was 1986, or I should say the record high was 1986, and so we are just past that 30-year point. So we have, anybody who's been in Chicago for a while will remember that there was a long extended period of low lake levels with big expansive beaches that everybody loved, and so now we're at the other side of that, and we're seeing the peak after about three decades.
What kind of damage are we looking at?
Well, coastal, you know, the big challenges here, coastal erosion, of course. You see there are pictures of people's houses falling into the water here in Chicago. We don't have that big of a problem with that because of all the money that's been invested in protecting the shoreline. But we are seeing reduced access to the lake, trouble with people getting into boats, getting on docks, shrinking beaches, you know, shrinking recreational opportunities. And then, of course, you know, the big question is, you know, what happens in the future? Like I said, the past doesn't predict what's going to happen next. If the lake continues to go up, are we going to see more of that coastal flooding of roads, Lakeshore Drive, things like that, like we saw in the mid-'80s. You know, we've invested a lot of money to protect against that, but we don't actually know what's going to happen next because we're seeing these sort of, you know, freaky ups and downs and the lake level's changing very quickly.
You do wonder, I remember that the fall of 86 really well, and there was a ton of trouble in, like, right the area where they were talking about here, North Avenue, because, you know, you've got Lakeshore Drive. The concrete comes right up to the water there. You don't have the buffer of a big beach like you do north of there in North Avenue. And the water was just coming over Lakeshore Drive, and it was going down. It's actually going down that LaSalle Street exit, and it was flooding out the all the way into Lincoln Park, which is, I mean, it's crazy to think of. But that, and I remember that lake level. I mean, just by eyeballing it, I have no, you know, I didn't have a yardstick that I stuck in the water, but it seems to me that this is higher, so or going to be higher. So that's it. It is. I think we're going to see as this summer and then heads into the fall when you get those kinds of winds, that becomes a pretty freaky situation. Is there an end to this cycle that we can see?
Well, I think you're not going to see an end to the cycle. We've got about 100 years of data on these lakes, and the lakes are about 10,000 years old. So we've only got kind of an eye blink of data showing us what these up and down cycles look like. It's enough to tell us that the ups and downs are going to continue. They're becoming more extreme. We're seeing, you know, shifts in climate patterns that are likely driving some of that volatility. So I think we've got to buckle up and be ready for the reality that the lakes could go up, and they most likely will drop off again, you know, precipitously, and we'll see those big beaches again. But we can't predict the future, so we've got to prepare for the reality that that these lakes are going to be going up and down. And communities like Chicago that are right next to the Great Lakes, and also, you know, smaller communities that don't have the kind of resources that Chicago does, are going to have to be ready for that.
Yeah.
So we're seeing damage on the outside, you know, infrastructure wise. Is there any huge concern in terms of pollution with obviously a lot of stuff now going into the water?
Yeah. Well, when you have a lot of rainfall, like we've had this past spring, it washes a lot of pollution off the ground into the water. And so one of the big concerns that we have is with what we call nutrient pollution. So nutrients are things like fertilizers that feed plants. And if you get too much of them in the water, they actually lead to these algae blooms, which people may have heard about from places like Lake Erie or Green Bay. And those algae blooms can actually be toxic to people and pets. And so when we see that these kind of increased precipitation, it's not directly related to the lake levels going up, but all that rainfall does bring more pollution off the ground into the lakes, and that can lead to some bad times for people who want to use the water. In fact, the city of Toledo lost its water supply for a few days 5 years ago because of the amount of nutrient pollution that was washed into the lake. And we're still seeing, you know, we're expecting to see a pretty massive algae bloom there this summer because of all the rainfall we've been getting. The lake levels themselves going up and down, it's a reminder that these are living lakes, right? You know, these aren't just big bathtubs. They go up and down naturally on a cycle. And that's actually healthy for a lot of the critters and plants that depend on those coastal areas for their survival. But obviously, it can have some real negative impacts on people.
Are those algae blooms similar to what the red tides are in Florida?
Yes, similar idea, yeah. So an algae is basically plant growth that just goes wild and grows much faster and much more explosively than it normally would. And when it does that, some of those algae actually secrete a toxic byproduct. In the case of Lake Erie or Green Bay, it's called cyanotoxin. And that toxin
is what can make you sick. Oh, that does not sound good. Yeah.
Yeah. What's what can make you sick, can make, you know, wildlife and pets sick. And it can also, in extreme cases, you know, make it not possible to supply safe drinking water for people.
So that'd be a problem, because that's the one thing that the Great Lakes region has always prided itself on, Chicago has always prided itself on, is that at least we have water, and water is the oil of the 21st century, a lot of people say. But if it's not potable, right, if it's not drinkable, then we have a very significant problem.
Yeah, we love to look at, obviously, in Chicago, you know, we love to look out on the lake every day, especially in the summer, see how blue and clean that it is. And at the very least, right, we all should be able to access and drink that water safely. Unfortunately, that's not the case right now in the Great Lakes region, so we've got to make sure that it is, and make sure that we keep that water clean.
Okay. That makes me wonder, is there any point where we would maybe want to manually try and lower the levels, you know, trying to get some water out?
Well, it's been tried, and it's a very difficult thing to do. One of the Great Lakes actually has level controls on either end, Lake Ontario, so that the level of that lake can be regulated. And then there's some control over the amount of water that comes out of Lake Superior, but at the scale of Lakes Michigan and Huron, the whole system, it's extraordinarily difficult. And there's also always the question of, you know, where does the water go? There's no such thing as just moving it away, because away is always somebody else's backyard. And that's what we're seeing in Lake Ontario right now. Lake Ontario gets all the water from the other four Great Lakes, because it's the last one before it goes out the St. Lawrence River into the ocean. And so when you put more water going east, of course, that water has to end up somewhere, and it ends up in Lake Ontario. So, you know, as we take from one place, we're giving away to another, and that can also have, you know, negative consequences for those places. You know, likewise, Chicago sends water from Lake Michigan down the Mississippi River. It's been doing that since 1890, since the river was turned around. And there's actually a long-term effort to continue to reduce the amount of water that is being used in northeastern Illinois, because, you know, Chicago or Illinois is under this federal agreement that limits its consumption of Lake Michigan water. So I think that, you know, ultimately we're going to have to learn to kind of live with the living lake and be aware that it's going to go up and down, and basically make our communities as resilient as we can.
I think Lauren just volunteered to be the head of the bucket brigade. If we could just get down there.
We got to get all the buckets. Yeah, kids at the beach.
We need 1 million buckets. Hey, can I ask you just another, right before we let you go? I know there's a lot of fishermen and, you know, sportsmen that like to use the lake. And the in terms of invasive species, is there something emerging now? Because I keep hearing this story. I mean, obviously, we talked about the zebra mussels for years, but there, and the Asian carp. Is there something else that we should be concerned about?
Yeah, well, there's obviously, Illinois still has a central role in stopping, you know, the big head and silver carp, the Asian carp, from getting into Lake Michigan. And there's a major project that's underway down the southwest of Chicago to try to build a new structure that will prevent those fish from moving toward Lake Michigan. Vital to keep that going. Big story this week about the grass carp, which is another variety of Asian carp that's actually been showing up in Lake Erie and has been known to have been there for a while, but these carp, they eat wetlands, they destroy plant habitat, or they destroy habitat for fish, which is why they are such great concern. And they've actually been traditionally bred to be sterile by the aquaculture industry, and so the ones that have been released have been sterile, but of course nature tends to find a way, and so there's a big concern that these fish will have started reproducing naturally and can eventually establish in the Great Lakes. And
that's like a horror film, right? The genesis of every one of those monster things is like, no, they're not supposed to be able to breed. And then all of a sudden they do. Nature always finds a way, doesn't it? Always finds a way.
It certainly does, which is why you got to keep the invasive species out to begin with. That's the surest way to deal with them. But that was a story this week, and there's now a big effort underway to try to control those and you know, extinguish them from where they've gotten into in Lake Erie.
All right, Joel Brammer, thank you so much. President and CEO of the Alliance of the Great Lakes. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour? Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Anna off this week. Kids have invaded the studio and they're taking over, and it scares me. Not going to lie to you. The Wintrust Crosstown series is heading to the South Side. You know about this? People familiar?
Mm-hmm.
You can join WGN Radio for a Wintrust Crosstown series live broadcast from Cork and Carrie at the park.
Best bar ever.
That is the best bar ever. There's some things that have happened in that bar already just this season that can't be spoken about that have happened as a result of this show.
I'm pretty sure we drank all the vodka there one day.
You did, actually.
Did. Roke showed up, and I could go for a drink, and he said, sorry, we're all out of it.
I've never seen anything like that. You guys did the pregame show. You did the pre. You did your part of our show from Cork and Carrie at the Park for CH Vodka, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I got there to go to the game with you guys, and the next thing you know, I'm like, all right, well, I'll have a CH Vodka. Everybody's talking about this. I'm going to have one. And they're like, I'm sorry, sir. We're all sold out. And I'm like, what? What?
Yeah. Was the bartender that one dog with the long ears from Looney Tunes?
Basically.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
It was very much like that, though. That's how I heard it, at least.
It was deflating, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, the look on your face was actually priceless. Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
Like, what?
I know. It's like finding out that you didn't make the last ship out of, like, a war zone.
It was exactly like that.
It was exactly like that, right? I missed the last helicopter out of Saigon. What? Oh, no! I gotta become a communist now!
You're kidding me!
So, we're gonna relive some of those moments. And that, when is that going to be coming our way? That's gonna be on, hold on.
Saturday?
Yes.
July
6th?
wait a second. No, we're gonna be there on, oh, okay, Saturday the 6th. We're giving away tickets there for the Sunday game.
Ah, that makes sense.
See, there was a little bit of confusion there. All right, so Saturday the 6th, mm-hmm. that is the Saturday of 4th of July weekend. That's what mm-hmm. I thought. That I knew we were doing that. We're going to be there. The White Sox Weekly guys are going to be there, and then I'm going to be there. Lauren's going to be there. Kevin's going to be there. We're all going to join in on the fun and the hysteria of all of this. And I'm telling you, I may not even go to the game. I may just stick at the bar. That's how I'm feeling about it.
I might do the same.
And you get a chance, like I said, to win a pair of tickets to the following day's game, too. Details at WGNRadio.com/events, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank, and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. That's why they call it the Wintrust Crosstown Series. And brought to you by Goose Island Beer. Chicago's beer. He said dramatically. God, I love that stuff. All right. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, a top 5 at 5, and then we're going to have some fun with audio. Oh, boy. The president screaming into the phone and Maria Bartiromo today is really something to behold. Whether you love him or you hate him, you're going to love this. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because he's giving everybody a what for. This is like when you've done something wrong as a kid and you call home and then your parents just start yelling at you on the phone. They can't get to you, but they can yell at you. That's what it was like. All right. All that is coming your way. But first, we've got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Kim Gordon in 2 minutes. Broconcho, with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. And off this week, and the kids are in the studio. I mean, they're always in the studio. It sounds like they're always in the studio, but we often keep them in their own boxes, which is, I think, maybe inappropriate. I don't know.
Our very spacious boxes.
Mine doesn't have air.
That's right. We put Lauren in one. We have to open the door every 15 minutes so that she can breathe, and then we close it again. It's like you know, we remember when we were kids, they said, kids, don't crawl into refrigerators. I don't know if that was a thing when you guys were kids, but when I was a kid, there was apparently people would like throw away refrigerators and kids would climb into them and couldn't get back out of them.
Oh, God.
And that's exactly what it's like.
No, I can't say that was a childhood
thing. Yeah, it wasn't really a thing for me.
I don't know. Is it because it unplugged the refrigerator or whatever? The refrigerator was more human sized back then. Didn't have all the crisping drawers.
Yeah.
It was just a big.
A lot of shelving.
It was just a bunch of shelving, wire shelving, and you pull that out, and then the kids would go hide and seek in there. Whatever happened to Johnny? Well, I don't know. We went over in the junkyard. We never seen him again.
Fridge got the best of him.
Did you ever try to get in the washer or the dryer?
Yes, I actually did. Yeah. That is how that's how we played as children. I don't know. We wanted to get into the things that were bigger than us. It's all,
cardboard boxes, you know.
Yes. Well, then I used to just like to get into the plastic bags. You know, that's my thing. Laundry bags, things like that.
Cardboard boxes go a long way, though.
There
was like a big piece of furniture getting dropped off. You had a whole night worth of fun with a cardboard box.
A fort.
You jump off it. You get in it. You jump off it. It was a great night. Kids these days don't know anything about cardboard boxes.
We had ovens and refrigerators, and we'd get in them, and we'd like it. All right. Hold on. Let's do this instead.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
checking in at
number 5.
Jerry Nadler, he's the congressman who's up on Capitol Hill today, asked by a reporter whether he expects the White House to move to block Robert Mueller's testimony.
Well, they may attempt to. I doubt that they would succeed because Mr. Mueller is an honest man and understands that that congressional subpoenas are not optional. And I suspect that whatever the White House says, they're not going to make us. Mueller will not make us try to enforce a subpoena in court.
Okay. The White House, I don't think, can stop it. But they can, well, they could go to court to try to stop it, get an opinion on that, about whether it's executive. But Mueller himself, that's right. Jerry's right. Jerry's always right. Mueller himself is not going to try to stop it. But we'll see. Here's more of Nadler.
Attorney General Barr led a campaign of misinformation to deceive the American people about what was in the report. The president joined in by repeatedly saying no collusion, no obstruction, which is not what the report found. So I think it's very important that the American people hear from Mr. Mueller as to what he did find.
Yeah. All right.
Is it going to really change anything again, though?
You know, I doubt it. We were talking to John Williams about that earlier on the web. I don't know that it will actually change anybody's mind. But I think that it does need to at least go into the public record. Because what the Attorney General put into the public record is not 100% accurate. And that's unfortunate. It's not that he lied about it. It was deception by omission, essentially. Right. And that's a problem, I thought, for the Attorney General of the United States.
Deception by omission?
Mm-hmm.
Come home late.
Yep.
Where were you, Ro? Just omit a few things from the storyline.
Yeah. I've been known to do that.
We came home. That's it. Forget about everything else that happened.
Where were we? We were there.
At that bar over there.
Thing. You know, we had that. Now, the president had his own thoughts about Mueller.
Number 4.
He was just about to get on an airplane. He's going to Osaka, Japan. And I hope he gets a Japanese toilet when he's there. I really do.
That would really be his new best friend.
Yes. I'm telling you.
Or only friend. Who knows?
Right. It's my only friend. My Japanese toilet. But that's not why.
Is this the one Rokan has?
I don't want that one. I want the better one.
With gold plates.
Wait, hold on. Here he is talking about whether he thinks Mueller should be testificating.
Now, look, the Mueller thing never stopped. There was no collusion. There was no obstruction. There was no nothing. How many times do we have to hear it? It never ends. It just keeps going on and on. I've been going through this for 2 years, 2.5 years, and the criminal activity was on the other side with the fake dossier, the phony fraudulent dossier, and all of the other things they've done, the FISA courts, all of that, with the insurance policy by Strzok and his lover, Page.
Oh, wow.
Right, that's what happened. That was the bad stuff right there.
This is a disgraceful thing, and now we keep... I heard about it last night, and I just said, does it ever end? At what point does it end? It's a disgrace. No obstruction, no collusion. Now, the Democrats want a do-over, so they had a do-over in the House. That didn't work. They had a do-over in the Senate. That didn't work. There are no do-overs.
Yeah, I like when he says that. I know that that's... You know, he likes to stick with his... with lines, right? I mean, It's really name it, blame it, repeat it. That's
repetition, repetition, repetition.
Branding.
Yes. Branding. It's branding. It's no do-overs. But isn't that really from like third grade? Not even fourth grade? The fourth graders are looking at third grade and say, no, there aren't do-overs. No do-overs. Yeah.
I said time out.
I said time out.
I'm not playing anymore.
All right. Now, wait. It's not done.
We spent a long time working with Mueller. I gave him all the witnesses he wanted. I gave him lawyers. I gave him people. I guess he interviewed 500 people, 2,500 subpoenas. They had everything they could possibly have. Nobody's ever had more. Nobody's ever been more transparent. And now it continues further. This is just a hoax. I call it the witch hunt, but it's really a hoax. It's the greatest hoax ever in the history of our country.
He cracks me up.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Well, wait to hear this. This one kind of gets me a little bit. And we got more of him today. He has been on a tear. I don't think he slept well last night. I hate going to Japan. I mean, I think he's done a lot of international travel. And it is said of him that he's not a big fan of that. And he's been, just the month of June has been brutal. Nobody would have wanted to have done it the way he's here. He was in Asia, then Europe, now back to Asia. And so I'm sure he had a fitful night's sleep. So when they asked him, a reporter asked him a question. Do you have the question in this too? All right, here's the question about Vladimir Putin.
I'll have a very good conversation with him. What I say to him is none of your business. Go ahead.
He was asked if he was asked by that reporter, did you tell Vladimir Putin not to interfere in the next election? And his answer was, what I told him is none of your business. Actually, factually incorrect. It actually, factually is our business. Is our business. We pay his salary. And he cannot say, well, I don't take his salary, so I don't have to answer your questions. That is not true. He is the president of the United States. He has a fiduciary responsibility to be honest and forthright about that. And if he did say to a world leader, which would be an appropriate thing to say to him, you interfered with the last election. Everybody agrees with that. Don't interfere with this one, pal. He should tell us that he said that. Not, it's none of your business. Because he's telling the American people, it's none of your business. I don't think that's right. Do you think that's right?
The guy that works for us, the people?
Right. He works for us. No, I don't. You work for me.
Exactly. You're exactly right. He didn't think that. He didn't think that he works for us.
No, does not. If I worked for you, I'd be taking the salary. But I'm not. To the coal mines for you. Wait, no, hold on. That's too good of a job.
Hard labor. My buddy Kim Jong-un told me about this hard labor thing.
You get one potato a month. All right. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 on WGN TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number 3.
Car dealership in rural Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Is encountering some pushback. It's Chatham Ford in Chatham, Alabama. They're running a God, Guns, and Freedom promotion that promises a Bible, a 12-gauge shotgun, and an American flag to anybody who buys a car between now and July 31st.
One-stop shop. Perfect.
Kobe Palmer, the general sales manager, says, I don't know what big deal is about that. And Terry Flowers, who took advantage of the promotion, says, well, it's all a big fuss.
It's grown a lot more than we anticipated. It was just something we just threw together. We had no idea it was going to spread outside of our little bubble here in South Alabama. Not even full 3 business days since then, and we've already sold in excess of 5 just because of the ads.
I think we done signed the papers, and it's like, oh, by the way. Yeah, it's like, right. Oh, yay. It was like, oh, wow, we're getting a gun.
Three good things, and I thought it was pretty cool.
No matter how many people come by a car, truck, SUV, they'll be able to take full advantage of getting themselves a Bible, a flag, and a gun.
You say in excess of 5?
We sold 5 whole vehicles.
Yeah, 5 cars in 3 days.
That's in excess of 5, which means 6. That's what that means. That was it. Well, it's rural Alabama. I mean, there are
yeah,
a whole
it's probably
lot of
big for
there.
Them.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I like it.
I think it means 6, but one got returned.
Right.
Are people upset about this?
As people are upset about this.
Oh.
That I mean, it's actually this is not the first time this has been done. There was a car dealer that was giving you AK-47s.
Yeah.
In Colorado.
That's a bit much.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. Well, you need a shotgun. I'm going to get you a shotgun. Now, see, what they do is they give you a shotgun, and then they upcharge you for the shotgun rack on the car. See, that's smart. And a Bible holder inside. Now, we could get you a Bible holder. Now, that's going to be $199.99 extra right there with the undercoating. But would throw them in there together. And then, of course, flagpole. That's another $299.99. And then the gun rack is $399.99. So by the time you're out the door, you owe us $1,072.57.
But how much is your freedom worth to you?
Exactly. We want to make sure. All right. We're not trying that here, I don't think. I don't know. You never know. I don't know anything anymore. You know what I don't know? Here's what I don't know.
Number 2.
two.
Why Bill Clinton wants his own podcast. Yep, he's getting one. He, along with his daughter Chelsea, through the Clinton Foundation, are launching a podcast. She's going to do one. He's going to do one. They're going to do one together. I thought Hillary was going to be a part of this, too, but apparently they've, like in everything else, he forgot that she was around. Wait, what? What do you mean she wants to do it? No one's going to listen to her podcast. She lost to Donald Trump. This, now, I was, now, what, let's just think about this for a second. If Donald, if Bill Clinton, basically Donald Trump, just with a better attitude, if he had a podcast, at what point is he done talking about this stuff, right? I mean, his political day is kind of behind him. He can complain about what's going on now. But I thought, maybe on one of his podcasts, he could read excerpts from Judith Krantz's novels because she just passed away. So I just, you know, had a little thought of like, I'd like to read you a few excerpts from the book Scruples from 1978. 2 years on the bestseller list in New York Times. After that first time, he used every art he knew to bring her to pleasure. Oh my God. As if that might be the key that would unlock the door between them. Sometimes she achieved a fleeting little spasm, but never knew that it came from one of her recurring fantasies. In her mind, she was being made love to by an anonymous lover, lying on a low bed, surrounded by a ring of men who were watching her avidly. They were hurting, almost bursting, making a movie of what they were watching. If she concentrated hard enough on their excitement, their frustration, she was able to be pleased. The end. Chelsea, did you get all that?
You guys were rolling on that, right?
I never thought I could feel more bashful than just reading parts of 50 Shades of Grey, but just listening to that made me feel even worse.
Bill, we forgot to record. Give us another take.
All right, here we go again. All right, let me take this. I made a little mistake on spasm. Let me take that little spasm word again. God. All right. Checking in at
number one.
Long time Chicago print and television news reporter Russ Ewing has died. He worked at ABC7 for many years, and before that he was at NBC. And through those years, Russ's instinct for news had drawn him into some truly tense confrontations. There was, for example, a 4.5-hour hostage shootout in 1976 when two men in ski masks attempted to rob a currency exchange. Police gunfire wounded both robbers, who promptly grabbed a couple of women customers and demanded to see the reporter, Russ Ewing, before giving themselves up.
They promised to kill everybody up there, and then they just start changing their mind.
Russ, it was obvious.
And then they let them come out one at a time. They laid all the guns in the middle of the floor, and they let them come out one at a time.
He started as a musician. He was actually a really, really profound piano player, but the lifestyle was not for him.
I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't like nightlife. So after a while, I said, this isn't for me.
Russ Ewing was a guy that I think there's a total, there's dozens of fugitives who turned himself into Russ Ewing to walk. He was the guy that in town, if somebody was wanted, they called Russ and he brought him into the police station so nothing bad would happen to him.
Which you don't see anywhere else.
Right.
You can't even get innocent people to talk to you as a reporter these days.
Yeah. He was a pretty amazing guy. In 1995, he talked about his impending retirement.
I think it's as important to know when to quit as it is to know when to start. And it's time to quit.
Russ Ewing was 95.
The top five at five.
That's James McCann talking about his wife and his kids and that struggle that he had. And here's a guy who's going to be on the All-Star team, right?
Oh, yeah, he's on fire right now.
Yeah, and you should go vote for him, MLB.com, because now they do this new sort of voting system here where it's two phases. They have the primary vote, and that gets you like the top three in each position. So that voting's ongoing right now until 3 tomorrow. McCann's one of three finalists in the American League for the catchers. Go vote for McCann.
And sadly, our only White Sox on there now.
He is, correct. Tim Anderson just missed the cut.
And he wouldn't be able to play anyway. That high ankle sprain is going to keep him out for a couple of weeks.
Lucas Giolito is going to make the team. So,
oh yeah, the catch. Well, or pitchers. You don't. You didn't vote for pitchers.
Right. Pitchers are voted on by players, and the commissioner's office will.
So, in terms of
well,
us voting, yes.
The commissioner's office.
Commissioners.
Because that's, you know, I always like when the commissioner makes a decision. Every sports fan loves it when the commissioner decides what we're going to have to deal with. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best. And don't forget, next weekend, not this weekend, but the weekend after that, the weekend of the 4th of July on the 6th, that Saturday, we are going to be at Corky Carey at the Park. That's the Cubs Sox series. That Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be something to behold, my friends.
Especially after how everything went in Wrigley. I mean, it was pretty heated, and you got a win for each team.
Maybe Dylan Cease will be up by then, too.
Mm.
Oh, that's a little teaser. That's a little teaser right there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You think Dylan Cease? You think what do you do with the pitching recruit? One of the top prospects in the league.
Well, keep in mind he was part of that Quintana trade as well, just like Eloy was, which added so many layers to that first series at Wrigley. And of course, when he hit that 2-run homer, so they need starting pitching. I mean, they had to do a bullpen day yesterday. They've had injuries.
Would you
guys
start him?
He'll be a starter when he comes up. No question about it. Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, they view him as a starting pitcher for a long time to come. He hasn't exactly dominated AAA this year, but I've talked to players before where. You know, a player kind of, and everybody sort of knows he has the talent to be in the big leagues, but you're not in the big leagues. It kind of changes your mindset a little bit. I don't know if this is necessarily the case with Cease, but I've talked to players who are like, yeah, I know I was good enough to be in the pros. And then they get, or in AAA or AA, whatever it may be. And then when they do get that promotion, they play so much better because they know that mindset kind of changes. Like, okay, I am where I belong right now. So maybe when Cease gets up, dominate a little bit.
All right. I like the way you're thinking, Kev.
Okay. I'm just trying to hype you guys. I say anything remotely, even a pinch negative, Lauren puts a knife to my neck. Like, what did you say, you son of a... I just do positive Sox talk on this show. It's too dangerous to do anything else.
Oh, no. Oh, I mean, she'll come at you.
Yeah, she'll come at me.
Yeah, she's got this expression that she uses about herself, spider monkey. I'm going to go all spider monkey.
I don't need that.
Right. Ripping your face off and doing that sort of thing. Right. We don't need that. Yeah. All right, we're good. We're good. No.
Positive vibes here. Come on.
Yeah. So if you want to see her go spider monkey, come out to Corky Carey at the Park a week from Saturday, the 6th of July. We're going to be out there starting at, it's a very important time. It doesn't say here, but I know we'll be starting at a certain time.
Before the game.
Before the game. It's a 3:00 start. So I think we'll be out there starting at noon, maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
I thought it was a 6:00 game. But maybe I'm looking
July
at
July 6th
else.
Game? Yeah, that's a 6:15 first pitcher.
Oh, then we'll be
so
there
the
at 3.
Probably yes.
Yeah, we'll be there at 3. Right, so. I knew it. I had it.
Okay, you got a lot of dates and times on your plate right now.
Got a lot of things going on.
Seriously.
A lot of things happening. It's all brought to us by Wintrust, Chicago's bank and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. Also, our dear friends at Goose Island Beer Company, too. They're helping us out there. That's a very good... I like the way that it's all working out. All right. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour. Then I want to play some audio. The president today called into Fox Business Network, Maria Bartiromo's show. And if you love him or you hate him, you are going to love the next segment. So I'm just going to play some of the unfiltered things that he said. There are so many stories today that have been written about this may have been the wackiest interview ever with him. Now, think about what kind of a high bar that is. And he did it. And again, I think he's nervous because he's got to fly to Osaka. Again, I suggest when he's there, he gets a Japanese toilet. Separate issue. Let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's a Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis. Whether you love the president or hate the president, you're going to love this. He called in to a talk show today, actually to a Fox Business Network show, Maria Bartiromo. And Maria had a little trouble getting words in edgewise during it. It was basically, honey, move over. I have a few things to say. Including his thoughts on Jerome Powell.
No relation.
The Fed chairman who the president appointed but does not like.
We have a man that doesn't, he doesn't do anything for us.
Yeah.
We're sitting there and we stay. He should have never raised the rates to the level that he raised them.
Well, he said he's not going to get pushed around by political. He said, you know, he basically suggested yesterday, I'm not going
to
get pushed around.
He's trying to prove how tough he is because he's not going to get pushed around.
Yeah.
He's a guy, nobody ever heard of him before, and now I made him, and he wants to show how tough he is. Okay, let him show how tough he is. He's not doing a good job.
I created you.
I think he was about to use the P word. He's up, and then he stopped. He was pursing for something with a P. That would have been awesome.
It almost sounds like a prank call, like someone calling in and doing a trumpet.
You said you wanted to demote him. I know you didn't say that. You were answering a question, but you're suggesting now that
I have the right to demote him. I have the right to fire him. But I have the
is
right
that
to
what you're thinking about doing? Are you considering that right now?
I never suggested I was going to do that. I do have the right to do it, but let me just tell you, he has to lower interest rates for us to compete with China. What they're doing is pouring money into the economy, and they're lowering rates.
Mm-hmm. I could totally fire him. I'm not suggesting that I would fire him, but I could if I wanted to.
Look at her, like, trying to hold on for dear life during the interview. It's like she's like kind of one of those runaway horses, you know? It's like, I don't know, my God. He's holding on to the neck, trying to just, don't fall off. What about the FBI spying on his campaign?
I think we have an attorney general who is a very strong person and a very fair person.
Yeah.
And I do believe that. I really do.
It's an extraordinary thing that had happened with informants going at your campaign people and obviously the spying. Let me get your take on the border crisis.
Spied, Maria, you know what? I used to say, well, we'll find out. They spied on my campaign. And when you look at somebody saying, listen, she's going to win. But if she doesn't, we have an insurance policy. You know what the insurance policy is? We have an insurance policy to get him out of office.
Right.
These are sick people.
What about the lovers?
The two lovers. I mean, the two pathetic lovers. I mean, those two lovebirds, they sung like nobody's
ever
sung.
Well, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page wrote everything down, so we've got all the
text. Wait till you see the rest of their...
There's
now,
more.
Here's the problem. Robert Mueller, they worked for him, and the two lovers were together, and they had texts back and forth.
Well, how come we haven't seen it all? I mean, you did... You gave William
because
Barr the authority
Mueller
to...
Because terminated them illegally.
Wait, he what? He terminated the texts or he terminated the people? What was that all about? But I like this illusion.
How come that has not been discussed? Where is that in the courts? I mean, is this are you going to see accountability for that?
The Republicans know it. To me, it was one of the most egregious things because you remember when they worked for Mueller. Can you imagine what they said back, how stupid they are? And can you imagine what they said? You know, these stupid lovers, he's trying to show what a big man he is, you know, making statements. And she's back to him. Oh, yes, darling. Yes, darling. You know, how stupid they were. I just saw this. This was a love serenade going on, okay?
This is the president of the United States, by the way. Now, he wants to take on the big tech companies like Google.
You have a woman in Europe. I won't mention her name.
Right.
But she's actually considered to take Jean-Claude's place because Jean-Claude at some point is retiring. She hates the United States perhaps worse than any person I've ever met.
Wow.
What she does to our country, she's suing all our companies. You know, look, we should be suing Google and Facebook and all that, which perhaps we will, okay? But you see, Apple, they're suing Apple for billions of dollars. They're suing everybody. They make it very, almost impossible to do two-way business.
Mm-hmm. What about Twitter?
How concerned are you that technology companies are censoring conservatives and they're going to do this right up to the 2020 election?
Well, they're doing it to me on Twitter. I mean, what they did to me on Twitter is incredible. I have millions and millions of followers. But I will tell you, they make it very hard for people to join me in Twitter, and they make it very much harder for me to get out the message. They make it...
Really?
It's incredible.
What? What?
How?
What? How is that even remotely possible?
If I announce tomorrow that I'm going to become a nice liberal Democrat, I would pick up five times more followers. I was picking up 100,000 followers every few days. And all of a sudden, and I'm much hotter now than I was a number of months ago. Okay, a number of months ago. Then all of a sudden it stopped. And now I pick up a lot, but I don't pick up nearly what I did a few...
Oh, God. What? I mean, anybody could follow him. right?
Yep.
I mean, it was, how hard is that?
And there was a huge dump of robots, fake accounts.
Right, that are following him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that happened to everyone.
I had nothing to do with that.
Devin Nunes is suing Twitter right now.
Who's suing Twitter?
Devin Nunes, Congressman Nunes.
That's great. I think he's great. In a lot of ways, he's great, and he'll probably do well. He's right about it. Twitter is just terrible what they do. They don't let you get the word. I've had so many people come to me, sir, I can't join you on Twitter. I see what's happening, 100%.
So would you rather see competition, or do you want to see legislation coming down to actually...
Well, you may need legislation in order to create competition.
Okay. All right. I can't join you on Twitter. I understand. I know how that conversation goes, by the way. I don't know how to get you on the Twitter.
Yeah, I don't know how to
use
work
my
this
phone.
Machine.
Right, yeah. I don't know how to use my phone. So, I mean, there's nothing to keep you from joining him on the Twitter. Grandma, we'll be able to get you. The grandkids may not want to help Grandma follow him on the Twitter. That may be the problem.
Just avoid it, Grandma.
Why is my picture an egg?
All right, we gotta go. We're gonna play News or Ruse coming up after 6 o'clock. If you wanna jump in on the hilarity of that, 312-981-7200. But first, let's do this. We got the news coming your way in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at WGN.
You know.
And now, the Rokan Show presents News or Ruse, a true game of true wit and skill. And now, here's your master of ceremonies, Rokan.
Thank you, Mr. Duffy. It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis' fastest growing game show in history.
Confirmed.
Yep.
Everybody's talking about it.
Everything, right.
Walking now, the streets of Chicago. Hey, News or Ruse?
Now, Cochran claims that his Factor Fiction, which clearly is a ripoff version of this, is the fastest growing game show in radio. And it's not. Ours is. And we know that to be the truth. All right. We have our celebrity today is Billy Maravitz, former state senator, a longtime server in the Illinois General Assembly, and now a businessman. He builds buildings and he produces plays, and he's producing this Miracle, which is at the Royal George Theater, which is a love story about the Chicago Cubs, essentially. Is that correct, Senator?
Well, it's partially correct. It's also about a family, just like any other family in Chicago that has highs and lows and ups and downs and overcomes adversity, loses faith and regaining faith. And it's about that family, and that's why I think the audience really buys in and is emotionally engaged, because they root for the family to overcome their adversity, just like any other family has financial problems, interfamily squabbles, and that kind of stuff. And we see the season unwind through their eyes.
Baseball
season, the Cubs, right. 2016 season, the championship season. And they are generational Cub fans. They own a bar in Wrigleyville, and they have owned it for generations. And they live and die with their Cubbies.
How do we handle the rain delay scene? What happens there, Billy?
It's a very interesting scene. Jason Hayward was the guy who made the speech during the 17-minute rain delay.
Uh-huh.
We have a character who's the protagonist in the show who makes a similar speech to his family.
You don't have Jason Hayward come down on strings in the middle of the stage.
Not this week.
Okay, all right.
Not this week.
Has he come out and done this? That's a good idea. You should get him on an off night. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Have him come in
and have him, like, you know, you can fly him in on that thing that they have. All right, so if people want to get tickets to see this, what do? They got to go to Ticketmaster.com, right?
They go to www.miraclethemusical.com.
Oh,
miraclethemusical.com.
Even better.
They can call the Royal George Theater. They can call the box office of the Royal George Theater. Go to Ticketmaster, but the best way, miracle.com.
MiracleTheMusical.com.
MiracleTheMusical.com. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate it. I wanted to make sure you were paying attention.
Yeah, no. I know how this goes. It's a generational thing, Billy. That's how it goes. All right. Go out and see. Everybody's raving about it. I know our own Richard Roper was a part of it a couple of weeks ago. So people come in and do the 7-thing stretch, right?
That's right. And you will do it when you come?
Now, did you notice how he like ordered that, like, and you will do it? And it's like, wait, I don't. Billy's got guys. They pick you up on the street, you get in the back of the car. star kid. And the next thing you know, you're at the Royal George and you're singing the seventh inning stretch in some play. And, and Jason Hayward's on a string above your head. It's a crazy thing. All right, we're going to play some news or ruse here. And let me just explain. Are you aware with what we're about to do here? Did they tell you what the rules
are? I've heard rumors about it.
All right, well, this ought to be really interesting then. And let me tell you what the prizes are. I would tell you what the prizes are, but I don't have the prizes.
$75 gift certificate from Green Tea Home Services.
And for all your home service needs, including garage door maintenance, air duct purification systems, carpet cleaning, 800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com. And everybody's getting a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Let's meet our contestants right here. We got Dwayne playing with Kim, Matt with Lauren, and we have Sherry playing with Billy. All right. Now, be kind, Billy, to Sherry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
All right. All right. Yes, I think we can hear you. Dwayne, is that you?
Hello, no, please. That was Matt. I'm Billy's next-door neighbor.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
All don't right. tell. Matt, please don't tell any secrets.
Yeah, let's keep that just
Billy,
to ourselves.
It's Matt. Gail's Matt. Hi, Billy.
All right. Hi, Matt.
If he wins now, there's going to be a problem. But all right, here we go. Dwayne and Kim, here is your headline.
All righty.
Employees who watch porn more likely to behave unethically at work. News or ruse?
Oh.
Ruse.
You think it's a ruse? I do, too. I mean, porn is porn.
You think it's...
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kim.
She's a newswoman. I mean, that's how it goes. All right, so you're saying that
we're
is not true.
We're going ruse out of the box.
You'd be wrong.
Oh, no, come on.
Oh, what?
Yeah. According to the study, I don't know.
So it was news.
I disagree with that, but whatever. All right, here we go. Matt and Lauren, here's your headline.
Cow smuggler dies on the spot after stolen cow hits him in the groin.
Oh, God.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you, I want this to be news. That's hilarious and sad.
That is hilarious, but the way Kevin said it was way too jovial. Mm. I'd have to say ruse.
Okay, let's go ruse. Dang.
Oh, God.
Sherry and Billy, this is your opportunity here.
Sherry, this is it. This is our moment, Sherry.
The door has been opened. Dozens of drivers get stuck in mud after Google Maps reroutes them into empty field.
They're always sending you in the wrong place anyway, so I'll say news.
I'm going to go with you, sure. I think it's news. Yes.
There you have it. Wow. Big win at the top. All right. Dwayne and Kim, here's your headline.
Here's your headline.
All right,
this is my
ready.
Turn.
You're doing good. By the way, Kev, you're doing great.
I'm so awesome. Arby's creates veggie tables in response to fake meat trend.
Oh, I think that's news. Everybody's on the fake news.
Vegetables.
Vegetables.
Fake vegetables?
Yes. Vegetables.
Yeah. I don't know.
Vegetables. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Vegetables. Arby's creates. I'm going to handle the headlines.
I'm going to go news on that.
You're biting on it, huh?
Okay. I'll trust you.
You're going to go news? All right, that was correct. They are creating vegetables, Kevin.
Vegetables.
Not veggie tables.
Oops.
All right, Matt and Lauren, here's your headline. Sewage water study suggests U.S. drug use much higher than estimated.
I honestly think that's true. I think they can measure opioids in water. So what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say let's go with her on this and say it.
News, yeah.
There we go. All right, now this is very interesting. I'm going to let Kevin read this anyway.
Okay.
But I must mention this to Sherry and Billy. Now, you got one right here, and you're taking a commanding lead. Right?
The pressure is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
That's exactly right. Here you go. Here's your headline.
Father calls 911 to rescue daughter from claw machine only after running out of quarters.
Sorry. I don't know. What do you think, Billy?
it's a tough one, but I'm gonna say news.
Okay, I'll go with you. News.
Oh, Sherry!
Oh,
That was close.
Tough break.
You can tell that Sherry didn't want to go with that. Oh, but then she went with the former senator. I don't know. What, you know, I don't, do you do that? I don't know. The man is, you know, the man is a theatrical entrepreneur now. He's a, what do you call that? A
ruse.
Impresario.
A ruse.
Yes, that's right. That is, yeah, that is true, too. So go see Miracle the Musical at MiracleTheMusical.com if you want to go see it at Royal George Theaters. It runs, what, Wednesday through Sundays, right?
Wednesday through Sundays.
Wednesday right? through Sundays at the Royal George Theater on Halsted near North Avenue. Stay right here. We got to get to round three, the Orion Samuelson round of News or Ruse coming your way. But first, Kim, what's coming up in the newsroom at the bottom of the hour?
Bryant Donaldson tonight. MVPs collide in prime time as the Cubs and Braves battle at Wrigley tonight at 7 on WGN TV.
It's another edition of News or Ruse. Billy Maravitz is our special celebrity today. He's a theatrical impresario, is basically what he is. Because he's got, now, you know, he was a senator, a state senator. Were you state legend? Were you a rep, too, for a while?
Before I was, yes. Mm-hmm. I was a rep before I was in the Senate.
Right. And obviously, that's Maravitz, a very famous name here in Chicago and the legal community as well, right?
Yes, I appreciate you saying that.
Yes, exactly. And this is now his new gig. He is a producer of the Cubs-inspired musical Miracle at the Royal George Theater. MiracleTheMusical.com if you want to go see it. It's a family story, and somehow Jason Hayward elevates over the audience. I can't promise that that's true, but I know it's a family story. I know that to be true. It's Wednesday through Sundays at the Royal George. You can get tickets at MiracleTheMusical.com. All right. And Billy is the lead producer and concept originator. He didn't write the book, though, for this, right?
I didn't write the book. The book was written by Jason Brett, my good friend, who produced About Last Night.
Oh, sure.
The music was written by Michael Mahler, who was a genius. Mm-hmm. And the director is Damon Kiley, who's the head of the theater school at DePaul University. Can't and my him. Co-producer yeah. is my dear friend, Arnie Granite.
Arnie Granite?
Started Jam Productions.
What has he ever done? Right. Yeah. All right. There you go. Thank you very much. That's a big deal. That's star-studded right there.
Star-studded.
Right. Again, I'm just saying, I don't want to give anybody any ideas, but if it gets a little soft, hang Jason Hayward over the thing on strings. You know, you got him like, you know, he comes down like on one of those harnesses and he flies around and he rolls back and forth. I like the idea of that. I don't know how much he's going to cost for that.
I'll check with Joe Madden, see what he thinks. Maybe Tom Rickard, see what they think.
Right, exactly. Maybe during the All-Star break, he's probably going to be working. But if he's not working, then I think that would be a good time to do it. All right, here we go. We continue at News or Ruse. Dwayne and Kim, Matt and Lauren and Sherry and Billy, all of you have one right. One right. So here is the opportunity for somebody to steal. Dwayne and Kim, here is your headline as read to you by Orion Samuelson.
Oregon Fire Marshal enlists Bigfoot to help prevent wildfires.
I mean, if you can have a bear prevent wildfires, why can't you have Bigfoot? I think it's news.
All right, I'll buy into it.
There you go. Bigfoot. No, the crap they right, find here.
All right. To laugh like that.
Matt and Lauren, here is your headline.
Driver who swerved to avoid an octopus was actually high.
Oh,
this is difficult. Oh, boy. I could definitely see this being news, but there's only been one ruse. What do you think, Matt?
Oh, you know, I'm going to regret saying this, but I'm going to go with ruse.
Ruse?
Ruse? And you are going to regret saying it. Yeah, no, that actually happened. Oh, you're out, my friends. Thank you so much for playing. All right, here we go. This is for the tie, or Dwayne and Kim, run away with this. Here you go. Here is your headline.
Flight attendants fake hijack wedding proposal scheme foiled before it became a felony.
God.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What is right? That's, you know what? I just want to say one thing, Sherry. Every time I read a story on this show that's a real story, I go, what? Yeah. It's been like that for the last number of years.
Just in that voice.
Oh, exactly.
Just in that voice.
That is exactly what I do. Like, all right, here you go. That is it. Flight attendants fake hijack wedding proposal scheme foiled before it became a felony. Is that news or ruse?
Oh, Steve. It's so dumb, I'll say news.
What did you say, Sherry?
She's going with news.
She's going with news? Yeah. Well, who am I to argue with Sherry?
You're the wrong guy. That's who you are. You should have argued with her. That's exactly what happened right there. All right. There. Oh, congratulations, Dwayne and Kim.
All right.
That's a big win right there.
I got my lucky charm. It's a Fred Sanford pop.
Okay, sir. Hold on. We'll just... Could somebody breathalyze him? All right, one more time. The musical is Miracle. Miracle the Musical. MiracleTheMusical.com if you want to get tickets. You can also go to Ticketmaster online, but I think they make more money. The producers make more money if you go to the website. MiracleTheMusical.com. Do that. And it's at the Royal George Great Theater, right? How many people get in the theater?
Over 400.
Yeah. It's intimate, but yet, you know, it's a good night, and it's right there on Halsted Street.
Yes, it is.
It's right in the middle of that theater district on the north side, North Avenue and Halsted. Lots of restaurants.
You'll come out smiling, laughing, singing a tune or two, and maybe even crying in the second half.
I'm not going if I have to cry. Do I have to cry?
Wilson Contreras cried the whole second half.
As we learned in the last 2 days, he's a very emotional man.
And a very tough man.
Yes. Yes, he is. Anybody who does that. All right, Billy, thanks so much for being with us. Billy Maravich.
Thanks, Ro, for having me.
One of the producers of that. And everybody's raving about it. So go see it. MiracleTheMusical.com. We got the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. I brought my own marimba in today. Hope everybody's enjoying my work.
I played one of these once in South Africa with a band playing in a restaurant. That might be the most random story I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to guess alcohol was involved in that story.
A little.
Yeah.
Well, hey! and then, you know, family pressure. And they're like, you should go. You play the piano forever. Not the same. But, you know, I appreciate the encouragement.
I will say that this show has been known to grab an instrument and just start playing.
That's where Anna is actually this week. She's touring the country with her violin. live performance at a time.
Yes. That may have been, although I think somehow Lauren's going to top this before it's all said and done. I have a feeling.
We got to go to a piano bar.
Oh, boy.
And you can get up there and we can cheer you on.
Can I practice first? It's been a while.
Song. Oh, the piano man.
We'll go to it's a good piano bar. Zebra Lounge, is that what it's called in Old Town?
Yeah. No, they will not. They're not going to let you play.
No, probably not.
No, there's a guy back there that's really supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
There's a redhead that allows there's like an amateur night at Redhead, I think.
All right.
Actually, when Billy Joel's in town, he actually goes to places like that and he'll go sit in.
That's awesome.
One of his things.
Can't you pull some strings at Gibson's Row?
They've got one at Hugo's. The piano bar is that they don't have. Well, they have both. Yeah, yeah. Of course at Gibson's there's a piano bar. Yeah, but that guy's a true professional too.
Right.
That guy's a get the hell away from a piano man. That is like it isn't you know, play me a song, piano man. It's like, I'm the piano man.
Right. All right, Lauren, pressure's on.
Oh boy. Okay, I'll start practicing.
Do you have the Anna? Piece. This actually happened. Mm-hmm. This happened. We were at Sabatino's right before it closed.
Rest in peace.
And they had the strolling violin players, and yes, we had been there for a number of hours, and yes, there may have been some alcohol involved, and yes, there was a line of cars parked outside to take us in our different directions with professional drivers in them, and then.
It was really a beautiful performance by Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's still talking about it.
Yes. She grabbed the violin off the guy's chin. That was the crazy thing about it.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he was like, what's going on? And his hair was like, he had one of those like weird kind of hair flap things that was going. Sort of an older guy that he had the ultimate comb over. Sort of the Trumpian comb over, but not quite as fancy as Trump's. Trump's got a lot of different devices in there that are making that work. This is kind of an old school thing. He just grew his hair real long on one side, combed it over the top. She grabs the violin from him, and the hair goes flying over to one side.
That guy was at Sabatino's forever.
Yes.
When I would go, there was a kid, I would see that guy in the corner just staring at you with his hair combed. He always just like always seemed to be looking everyone in the eyes at the same time. I don't know how he did it.
But. And with and the thought bubble that we all had as the one being stared at was, he's going to kill me.
Right.
So it was, yeah,
it was a beautiful nice performance from Anna.
All right. And don't forget, if you'd like to join, well, Anna and I are going to be in London. You know, we're trying to get you guys there. Oh, you know, Lauren can't make it because she's going to be in Prague for the Blackhawks that weekend. But I don't know, Kevin. I think I can work this out. Yeah, it's all said and done. We are going to London the same week. Oh, this is what a coincidence. The same week that the football team from here, I forget their name. They're a professional football team. Mm-hmm. One of the co-founders of the NFL, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Charter franchise?
Yeah. Is going to be in London playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Tottenham Stadium is supposed to be the most expensive and state-of-the-art stadium in the world right now.
Brand spanking new.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, so brand spanking new, they had to, the Tottenham couldn't even get into their own stadium. They had to play at Wembley for most of last season. And then they finally got in at the last couple of games. And people are like, I cannot believe what a stadium this is. So this is an amazing opportunity. We got tickets to that game. And it's a four-night stay in London at the four-star Radisson Edwardian Kenilworth. You got a London pub crawl, three-course welcome dinner, sightseeing excursions, Tower of London, Windsor Castle. So much. So many things. So many great opportunities here. You want to take advantage of this, you need to go to WGNradio.com. There's on the splash page there, you're going to find details on this trip. You got to make your decision by tomorrow, though, if you want to go, because there is an air and land component to this. Call Steve Bertrand Travel if you got any questions. 847-606-6065. 847-606-6065. We'll miss you, Lauren.
Trip of a lifetime.
Well, who knows? Maybe I'll take a little skip and hop and come on over from Prague.
What's
after the Blackhawks
Prague's
game.
About half an hour away, isn't it? It's like going to Aurora. It's like, it's a little more than half an hour. Everybody goes, hey, it's half an hour. You take an hour at the 88 and you just keep going. And it's like, it's an hour. No, it's more like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Everybody's just half an hour. It's not half an hour, but whatever. It's close. Unless there's traffic. Now, if there's traffic, Lauren, and you would know, if there's traffic, then there would be, you know, maybe it's like 90 minutes.
I don't know if this program reaches that far.
Prague to London right now, if you're taking, is there an accident on the side? All right. Okay. Speaking of the future, did you see this story? That scientists believe that by the year 2100, our use of cell phone technology is going to literally change within three generations, change how we look as humans.
Physically?
How we look?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How is that possible?
Well, I hate to call this fake news, but I kind of think it is. But I'm going to go with it because it's entertaining.
Because it's entertaining.
Just go with it.
There's some holes in this story, but just roll with us.
Experts have examined the way technology affects human form, suggesting that the body will change dramatically. They've created a 3D model of a future human called Mindy. Why Mindy?
Babe alert.
I know. Everybody named Mindy's like, hey, wait a second. The scientists believe that by 2100, we will all have hunched backs from hours sitting computing things or looking at our smartphones,
mm-hmm.
bigger neck muscles to compensate for our poor posture, a thicker skull to protect from radiation, and a smaller brain.
We're all going to look like this guy. No big deal. Just jacked neck. Kind of like a heavyweight lifter.
Yeah.
Oh, when you look like there's a body in another body.
Right.
You're like, is that his big neck? Shoulder muscles?
Yeah, right. You can't really tell.
That really weird looking.
Is that a muscle?
No, that there's like a little human in that bigger human.
Here's my counter to this.
Wait.
Okay.
Hold on. Humans will also have claw-like hands.
What?
From gripping their phones. Claw-like. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to be able to pass, you know, my genes on. I'm going to fail here as a human because my thumbs have a weird pad shape and I miss all the letters on my iPhone. It takes me an hour to type things out of my because it's like my pads aren't in the right place.
You might want to recalibrate the touch.
I do it every time. Don't you think I haven't thought of that?
Where are your pads? What do you mean? They're closer to the tip or closer to the knuckle?
I looked at this. I know, of course, I went immediately to the doctor.
The emergency room.
Help me.
Sir, all right, what is your emergency, sir? My thumb pads.
Thumb pads are weird.
seem to be misshapen, and I'm wondering if there's anybody here who could take a look at this and tell me if it looks funny to them. It's like the top of my thumb pad. The top of my thumb. Mm-hmm. If you go right under there, it's like smooth. And then the thing that like the protruding part of the thumb pad is too low.
Interesting.
So when I'm hitting the letters on the keyboard, when I'm going for a T, I'm hitting a G. That's the thing. And it's creating all kinds of problems.
So you got to come in from a different angle.
I do, and I don't even know how to do it. Now that's going to cause...
Now you have shoulder problems.
I'm going to have a shoulder
problem. Because you're kind of like this.
A rotator cuff issue. I don't know what to do.
Wow. You really should just go to the emergency room for this. Yeah.
Oh, the talk to text is even worse. Oh, my God. The things I've sent by doing the talk to text.
It is pretty bad.
Oh, my God.
I don't even risk it. I'm too worried about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, I don't know. I just don't trust it.
I said I didn't want to forget you. Right. That's what I said. I said forget. I'm sorry.
I've got some of the best mom texts from Talk to Text.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Like, I don't know what you're saying. Are you having a stroke? I can't comprehend.
The way we hold our phones can cause strain in certain points of contact, according to Dr. Nikola Djurovic. I believe him immediately.
Definitely.
Yeah. It is going to cause a text claw. Text claw. This is in the 90 degree elbow, also known as cubital tunnel syndrome.
Oh yeah,
yes, the cubital tunnel syndrome.
Classic cubital tunnel syndrome.
Yes, I got that. It is caused by pressure of stretching in the ulnar nerve, which run the groove at the inner side of the elbow.
Mm-hmm. A lot of pitchers have trouble with that.
This caused numbness and tingling sensation in the ring and little finger. Forearm pain, weakness in the hand, keeping elbow bent for a long time. Celebrity voice impersonated, just to let you know. And then Jason O'Brien, head of tollfreeforwarding.com, which produced the model, was behind the study, described any physical changes in the body as it's a trade-off. It comes with the many benefits of the technology. Gives us convenience and connectivity and entertainment for so much more. But there's a trade-off. Overexposure to technology sometimes can come to the detriment of our health.
Screw our brain sizes. I want a phone.
This model is unbelievable. This model is horrifying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's nightmare fuel there.
It is. People look this up.
That looks like a... That looks like
Mr. Burns.
The technology used there. Mr. Burns, yes, kind of hunched over.
It's Mr. Burns with boobs, though, because it's a
Mindy.
Female.
It's Mindy,
yeah. It's Mindy Burns, the Burns daughter. They never had her.
Ooh.
Oh, and I forgot this. We're also going to get a second eyelid.
A second eyelid?
A second eyelid.
Like alligators?
Yes.
Alligators have
like
two eyelids?
The eyelid is going, there's going to be an eyelid with an eyelid.
Yeah, don't alligators have that, like, clear protective eyelid and then the other one?
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Bro, you keep talking like humans are going to exist then.
In 2100?
Yeah, we're going to be gone by, like, 2050, supposedly.
What the hell's wrong with you, Jen?
Positive outlook from Jen DeSalvo from downtown, out of the newsroom, out of nowhere.
Coming in the sixth man, Jen DeSalvo coming out of the court right now.
Says we're going to be dead in 30 years.
Man.
We had a good run.
Yeah, we did.
I don't know who Jen DeSalvo is and why is she talking over my story. I'm sorry, Jason.
I'll see myself out.
Jason O'Brien. Tollfreeforwarding.com. I have no idea what that has to do with anything. What is toll-free forwarding? This is a bunch of crap, this study. First of all, we're not going to change the three generations. We're already at 2020, essentially. And if you consider a generation to be about 25 years, especially in Western civilization, it's actually, that's like, people are 60 and having children now. This is like a half a generation away. This is not going to happen. Genetics doesn't work like that. Plus, although, if you keep the phone in your pants next to your, you know, your genitalia, yeah, all that stuff down there, and you start working the eggs in the, you know, the swimmers in a weird way, God knows what'll happen.
Dad, I guess I am a little worried about it. Also, in 80 years, there's no shot we're carrying around like phones that we have
right
now.
That's what I was just thinking.
The smartphones are going to be like embedded in our brains by 2100.
I'm pretty sure I've already seen one that's, I don't think it's real, but a projection onto your wrist.
Yeah, it's going to be something crazy like that. Something we haven't even thought of yet. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be walking around like an iPhone 9 or whatever the hell we're on now. Mm-hmm. No shot in 80 years. It's going to be like a computer they put in your brain.
Well, in our glasses. We'll all wear
in glasses.
In glasses
or something like that.
Well, we tried that. And then you look at
they'll
the thing,
get it right.
Like you look at each letter, and then I would still screw that up because somehow my eyeball isn't properly formatted either. My thumb and my eyeball. I'm like the missing link. I'm the one person who cannot move on technologically, and I'm passing that gene along. Oh my God.
I mean, in 80 years isn't like that long of a time to see the human anatomy change that much. I mean, 80 years ago, we were pretty much the same as we are now, right?
Yeah, well, a little shorter.
A little shorter.
Yeah, and thinner. A lot thinner. You look at, I have pictures of my relatives from the turn of the century. I could fit four of them in my bed right now.
Gray,
like a twin bed back then. A whole family lived in it. The husband, the wife, the kids. One twin bed.
It's like in Willy Wonka.
Right, like
grandparents.
Like
only.
File folders. Everybody hurts. Move to your left side. Now two people can't fit in a California King.
Right.
Hi. Hold on.
Your average Joe can't fit in an airplane seat.
Right. They're holding onto the triangle thing above the bed. All right. Jen DeSalvo's got the news headlines for the top of the hour coming.
Oh, hey, I'm back. Marijuana is going to be legal, but how is it going to be enforced on the roadways?
Lauren Lapkus, traffic brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. All right. Jessica Coffin has just stepped into the studio. Oh,
yeah. Good to see you, buddy.
What do you have on the show for us tonight?
You know, we are doing a whole show, a retrospective, 1989.
1989.
The year, 1989. It's 30 years since that year, and we got pitched a ton of 30th anniversaries for different institutions and different stores. This happened 30 years ago.
If you ask these two, by the way, Kevin and Lauren.
Phenomenal year.
My favorite, I think.
Yes. They will tell you it was the year that electricity was invented.
But 1989 is an important year for both of you guys. Right?
Yes. 30th anniversary of my birth.
There you go.
Wow,
Same here.
Look,
same
wow.
here.
The kids.
There you
the
go.
Kids,
that's amazing.
Kids.
That's well,
big 3-0.
That's a big.
And then we
3-0.
Got to make fun of all our classmates that were '90s babies. It's like youngins.
You're born in the '90s, nerds. I remember the '80s.
Yeah, back in my day.
Back in my day, back in '89.
I was a sophomore in high school. Ro, where were you at?
I was at the Social Security office applying. I was my first year at WLS in 1989.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That was a long run there.
That was a 25-year run. They really celebrated it well by firing me on the 25th year. But it's so weird to think about. I didn't have a phone in my car, right? I didn't have or in my hand. You know, if you think about all of that, you could disappear, which was the best. You had a, I just started trying to think of like what your life was like back in 1989.
Yeah, you didn't have Google. According to the stuff that I watch a ton of clips on YouTube, what we really cared about were Ferraris. It was a big thing in 1989. There were like three commercials for Ferraris. I'm like, no one's buying a Ferrari. The second were radio stations. There were commercials for radio stations in every break of the 10 o'clock news. And third, I would say McDonald's. That's still...
still.
McDonald's.
Is very dead.
And anything that Mike Ditka pitched. Because it was...
True.
There still are at least now. 30 commercials at the time.
Yeah, come to my limo service.
It was
restaurant, limo service.
Beef jardinier. Did you have the jardinier back then?
Cigars.
Hallman Savings and Loan commercial where he's sitting on a bungalow porch and just like, you know, when you need to make a checking account.
This is not my house.
Right. And there was another Dristan. That was a very, where he's on the field. He turns around. When I get sinuses, I don't let it block my, Dristan.
I'm Iron Mike. Wearing the gigantic orange aviators, right? They were like orange and brown.
If you go to YouTube and put Mike Ditka 80s commercials, it is
oh
hilarious.
My God, it's hilarious. The best.
There's an animated one for McDonald's that he does with the, and I'm not sure it's him or just his likeness, because the voice sounds kind of fake, but it's with Kathy. the cartoon Kathy. Are you guys too young
for
that?
Oh, yeah.
Are
you talking about the newspaper
Yeah.
Kathy?
No clue. Yeah. She was like a cartoon strip, Kev. Mm-hmm. You remember those? The strips in the newspaper?
Yeah. Yes, I would read those.
But she was like, oh, boy, McDonald's. Hey, I'm Iron Mike. Oh, boy.
I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, he had a sandwich at McDonald's at one point.
I can't tell you.
Really?
I think he did. I'm not even lying. There were at least 20 Mike Ditka local commercials.
Oh,
he just was like, just one
still,
day.
You should know that he's pitching wine. He's pitching, there's the heart medicine. There's everything you could possibly have he can pitch. Come on.
All right. So tonight, 1989, extension 720.
All right.
Nice. Big fan.
In honor of you guys. An honor of you guys. Have a great night.
Thank you very much.